This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is the result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everybody. It is 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall right here in Studio C. This is the show on Hugh Talk America. I'm sitting here alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. This is our post-AIDS Walk 2014 show. I think my feet still hurt a little bit. I did get a pedicure yesterday, though.
Mine were killing me after that motherfucker.
I'm sure. And you were on your feet all day long anyway for your job at the restaurant.
24 hours. Yeah, I was up a good long time, and it was time to call that a fucking day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Done.
I was like, get this train to my house.
Oh, that's right. And then you had to get off the train and walk to your car. Mm-hmm. Then get your car. How was the walk from the car to the front door of your house? Was probably just as...
Oh, just brutal. I'm like, well, because that train station's a long fucking way from that bar.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I think we just added a K to this fucking walk slash run.
Right. When you do the from the bar to the train and then back, there's another K. You're right. I'm sure you are. Oh, my heavens. Well, thank you all for being with us. It is Studio C on a Tuesday night. Thanks. Everybody's already in the chat room. We've got Tomo and my mom and Cal and Julia Gulia. Also, Don from Washington is in there. I'm not sure who all...
And look at Cal being all smart-ass. Marnie, but not mentioning any names.
See? Yeah.
So what could he be referring to?
Yeah, I know. We'll find out probably in the next few minutes. I'm sure. Something like that. Well, here we are. We've all gathered, and we have all made it through another weekend. I hope you all are doing fine out in Radio Land, wherever you are listening. By all means, if you are listening to us, join us in the chat room. Let us know where you are. At this point, I only see Brazil, New Zealand, and two United States listeners on the audio-only stream. But there's so many people that watch us, I find out. Somebody was in
And you think I'd care more about how I looked.
Yeah.
You'd think that would have some effect. No.
Someone would not phone it in. Anyone.
Yeah, especially now that we can take a phone call in. Don't try to call us because we don't want to talk to you. No, but we'll...
That's into my time and I don't like it. In case you missed year one.
Yes, you're right.
The only objector was me. I think somebody's fucking call.
No. Slows this down.
Some of those calls were painful.
This is a three-hour monologue. Some of them were painful.
Well, the reason they were so painful was because there used to be a delay in it. Mm. And now that there's not, it's instant.
That's
so
true. It wasn't just my ego. There was also a mild
frustration, yes. Very much so.
Apparently, it was about
Al. Speaking
to people who do watch us, and obviously not everybody who watches has been in the studio to see where we broadcast from, but...
Pop-Tart Central.
Pop-Tart's a blender and an odd dark room timer.
What was the timer for?
Just because we had sound effects. It was a buzzer. Yeah. Remember that annoying...
Yeah.
The plugged in? No, nope, I'll fix that up later.
Oh, good.
Let's just share that again.
Oh, good.
Because we were doing games and we would time each other and I would buzz shit.
Yeah.
Thank God I was drunk.
Slide whistle? Yeah. I always enjoyed the slide whistle. Yeah. Can I bring one?
No.
Come on.
I just said no. That was a reaction.
Yeah,
that was a mommy with a loud toy. No.
That was very organic.
I don't care how gifted you are, you're not playing the drum.
No, not going to happen.
Right, exactly. Nor the symbol.
All right.
Fuck the aptitude test. Put the drumsticks away.
I don't care what your counselor says.
That's the mommy doesn't have enough wine category.
We never get to do anything fun.
No. Right. So what I was going to say was, for everybody who hasn't had the chance to come and see where we do the show from, our friend Cosette Pfeiffer was in town. They just left 3:30 this afternoon, so driving across country in darkness right now. Anyway, she came by the house today and to meet Matt to go on. And I said, "Oh, you've never been here before." I said, "But she listens to us all the time." So I'm like, "Well, I'll show you the studio." And we walked in. She's like, "Oh my God!" She's like, "You guys are really..." She goes, "I thought it was so much bigger." Just by looking at us online, she thinks this is some bigger... Like, how are you going to fit a bigger studio in this house?
Yeah,
just
right. That girl just kind of like appears. She's like Batman. Yeah. She appears and disappears in the dark of night.
Yeah.
And we love
And
that.
Most time you just so hear a story that she was around. Like, it's rare to get the actual sighting.
She said that in her lifetime with all... Because she has so many gay friends. Oh, by the way... I'll update you about Braun in a little while. Yeah, you'll love it. Because everything that you did is undone now.
Oh,
sorry. We'll share
So I shouldn't send the anniversary card?
Oh, no, don't. Do not.
All
do
right,
not.
Then.
No.
Oh, that means he's
Ernie,
single?
Get it out of the mailbox.
Yeah, apparently that's happening quickly.
Oh, no.
Anywho.
Well, you got a gay marriage, you got a gay divorce. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he was a listener, we've just lost him.
Well. Who's got the scorecard for that shit?
Got a lot longer story, too, to tell you about that. A little later. Anyway, so...
It's like a teasing.
I know. It's
no, but I'm not going to do it on the show. Yeah, I'm going to do it off air.
It's been so subtle so far.
God damn.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I listen to this back, and I realize how annoying my crunching is, but I still do it.
Oh, no,
all
it's
crunchy
food. I think it's great.
The crunching, not so bad. The throat clearing from last week, though.
A lot.
Oh, me?
Did you do that a lot?
I almost choked to death.
Yeah, really.
Did you almost die? Yeah. Because you're eating those goddamn nuts.
Yeah. I mean, no, last thing, it was like, I choke on my own saliva. That's the stupid part. Or, sometimes when I drive my car, I used to keep carrots in the passenger seat and, like, nibble on carrots for when I had to drive longer to work.
Sure.
Oh, but then I would try to sing along with the radio while inhaling carrots, and it was always like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it was always some kind of, like, medical emergency on the drive.
Oh, left my carrot out in the rain.
I did. God damn it, I still don't have windshield wipers. Don't mention rain. Don't make it rain.
Tom says, the consumption of freshly toasted Pop-Tarts on air was too cruel.
Well, all we need is your address. We're willing to ship what's allegedly fruit through the mail. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this week's selection of Pop-Tarts includes the alleged strawberry. Now, we do have the wild cherry.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
No. And then
sounds too wild.
We're venturing out. We found there are crazy new flavors out there. It's like there's a s'mores one. Yeah. There's pumpkin that you talked about earlier, Kat. Mm-hmm. They have peanut butter. So this week we're going to venture out into the cookies and cream world and see how that works out.
Now, I'm pretty sure the peanut butter one's where I'm going to go over the edge into just I will never eat another food in my life because it might interfere with peanut butter Pop-Tarts.
Tune in next week to see how Albert is just rubbing Pop-Tarts all over his body.
But I'm thinking the cookies and cream might be
Might be legit.
Yeah.
Or they might be really terrible. I mean,
and allegedly, all of these, according to the box, because, you know, always truth and everything.
They can take eight essential vitamins and minerals?
Seven. They've downed one.
Oh, okay.
It's seven, good source of seven vitamins and minerals. It doesn't say which ones.
Right.
But seven of them are in there.
But I like that it only says it on the cookies and cream ones. They're not in any of the fruit ones.
Oh, let's see. Stand by. Hang on, I got to see if there's...
No, but, like, it's not on the front. The only thing that tells you, if you eat this cookies and cream deliciousness, you're going to get seven...
They got a whole grain Pop-Tart. Why? Why fuck it up?
Don't turn the box over.
Okay, that one says...
we're in dangerous territory.
Don't read the nutrition
look,
facts.
That one says seven on the cookies and cream. This one says six for wildlicious berry, whatever the fuck this is. Yeah. Good source of four B vitamins, though. You can get four Bs and then a six other something, cholesterol free, and no trans fat.
Oh, no trans fats, big.
Can you imagine how much better they'd be if there were trans fats?
They'd be delicious. I feel like the 70s might have been the time to eat. Back in the trans fat days.
Yes, exactly.
I'm still alive. How bad could trans fat have been?
Early 80s when trans fats were all the rage.
Mm. Mm-hmm. They stopped that in like 88, 89.
Fuck those bitches.
No, it was horrible.
Really, stopped it like a week ago.
No.
Trans fats.
How about the trans fat thing? Isn't that when McDonald's changed their fries in the late 80s?
No, they just did it like last year. Trans fat's been going till...
We need to figure that because they changed their fries and that changed everybody's world.
Oh, they just changed their fries because they actually used a potato for the first time.
I didn't trust it.
Molly says I only eat Pop-Tarts because she needs the zinc.
Well played, m'lady. Well played.
Yeah, I thought the zinc was in the wrapper on the outside.
I'm fighting a common cold. I'm going to need that zinc from your Pop-Tart, sir.
Give me the Pop-Tart.
It's a cold blocker. Yes, between airborne and Pop-Tarts.
I got my zinc in my Viagra covered. I will never get a fucking cold.
Holy Gulia, I wonder if I can substitute Pop-Tarts for my multivitamin.
It's worth a try.
If you only need six or seven.
Do it for a month. Yeah. And get back to us.
30 days. What's that, Morgan Spurlock?
Right. How does that go for a month? No change? Keep going.
No, yeah. Try it again.
You're fine. Oh, my God.
I mean, you'd be so close to a fruit by the 30th day.
I don't know.
I mean, you wouldn't have eaten one, but you've been so close.
Somebody sent me a video or a link to a video on Facebook about how they make Pop-Tarts, how they get the filling inside of it.
Oh, it was like the...
I saw that.
Who sent that? That was like the...
Was it Gina? It was Gina.
16 to 20 things you need to know in life before you die.
Yeah,
and like,
something. It was Gina Florio who sent that to us.
But there was all kinds of weird, like all kinds of different creations and things that...
Very fun little things.
Yeah, I don't remember any one of them except for the Pop-Tart.
Oh, the ice cream cone one was really cool.
Oh, they made the ice cream cone? Sure, like there's two.
looks like a tortilla and is wrapped around a cone, wrapped around a cone.
Look at us remembering shit.
No, anything that leads
to, that about?
Anything that leads to fat girl land, I remember. I didn't learn how they made exercise bikes or sunshine or rainbows. No,
nobody needs that fucking process.
However, the inner workings of Ben and Jerry's factory, he's got it down.
I
can figure this out.
Those core ice creams?
Oh, God. That's a, well, good morning.
Well,
that
hi, Marty.
Salted caramel like, thing, whatever.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
Well, you know how the whole world like lost its fucking mind about pumpkin spice?
Yeah.
The next person says pumpkin spice to me is getting a punch to the face. You wait for it, lady, when you least expect it. But
I
got to tell
like
you, the other little trend that goes on the rest of the year when pumpkin spice isn't being shoved up my ass is salted caramel.
Oh, my God.
And it turns out, or caramel. I love that shit.
Oh, it's not bad.
There is nothing.
Except you go to Starbucks and you say, I'd like a salted caramel hot chocolate, which you really should all do.
Mm.
And you get there and they're like, oh, we're out of the salt. What the fuck is wrong with you people? What is wrong?
Get more salt.
All right, so here's
get
the thing.
Salt.
If you
get
go to Starbucks, maybe bring salt with you.
Oh, I thought about that. That was last year that happened? Good idea.
But, you know, I travel with Sweet and Low everywhere I go just
Aaron
in case.
Yeah.
In case of a sweetening emergency.
Can you imagine when he's 80, how big that bag's going to be full of shit?
All the restaurants are going to say get out.
And the rest is, I'm like a 5-grain, like I put just a little tiny, teeny tiny. I don't even put, like, half a packet in the goddamn thing. I just like that little hint of saccharin. Just a taste of cancer. I just want to lick it.
Taste of cancer, right. Living on the edge.
Thank you, Tomo. As rationalizations go, not too bad.
Not too bad. No.
Okay. I'm not going to judge you. I gotta get. Speaking of rationalizations, I got to get wine.
Oh, I thought you started out. Oh, you already polished that glass off. Never mind. God damn. Well, speaking of polishing. Yeah, thank you. I'll get some of that in a minute.
Oh, eggnog.
It was in the store. I did.
I know.
Well,
have you gone yet? Have you got any yet?
First glass is gone.
Okay.
Yeah, no, so because I had to make a quick run to the local Crack Fries to get Pop-Tarts, which is our own crack.
Yeah.
And then I walked by that. They had an end cap and had goddamn eggnog in it. And I'm like,
yelling at you already.
Shit.
I know. Yeah. I don't know what to do about that. I can't say yes yet.
I had to sip it. Well, if you'd like,
I might say yes to you. Yes.
It's in the fridge.
Yeah, because it's here.
It's not in the fridge right now.
Oh. Shaker?
Huh?
Do you have a shaker? I can make something special out of this.
Oh,
concoction.
So good.
Well, I probably can find one. I don't know. What do you? We have a blender.
Need a minute. That'll shake. Chat amongst yourselves. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, be afraid.
Yeah.
Be afraid.
Blending.
It's a blender. You're going to have a blender drink this week. That's all right.
All right.
I'm okay.
It's my first blender drink.
I was going to say, we haven't done blender drinks since Kat has been on board.
There we go.
I like it. Well, now, we're not sure what's going to happen with all this, but we may, for those of you who've been listening, you realize that Kat Carlson has been a friend of all of ours for many years. She was kind enough to fill in while Katie June has been out doing election stuff, and the election is next Tuesday.
Yes.
So we will do our, as we typically do, we'll do election coverage here. Not everything, but important things like, you know, what governor we're going to have finally in Arizona, because we're going to get that bitch out of office finally, thank God.
I will miss her.
In what way?
She's good television.
She's good fodder.
She's good fodder.
Yeah.
But we'll be watching a few different things. Al said there were some things back east that he wanted to keep an eye on, so we will be doing some election coverage. I mean, the whole show will not be heavy-handed with that. But the point of that whole comment was that we will find out after the election is over what Katie June will be doing. Is she going to come back and join us?
Has anyone talked to Madam June?
It was lovely to see her on Sunday. Madam June, as you... It was lovely to see her on
Sunday.
It was.
She was doing a great job up there, making up shit and sounding happy.
Totally.
She's good like that.
Just like she
Aaron
does on this
Aaron
show.
Is that Katie June? I go, is that a stage?
Yeah.
This isn't a difficult thing. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she did a great job.
She did.
She's like, I miss you guys.
So we'll see if she's going to come back. Yeah. And then I've already started looking for, because I can't use that wire. Well, hang on. Let's move. Hey, Pop-Tart Central has to be taken apart.
Pop-Tart City.
Hey, we're play-by-play.
A blended drink. Al Perkins, take it away.
Good timing.
Sadly,
it's good radio.
You have to shake this up. There was the one show where I was like this. Under the table.
Camera's still on you.
And now I'm talking through
it.
Whereas before I was just a wee. And I looked back and...
was abhorred.
I remember that.
Oh, my God.
All right, fair warning, people. If you're making this at home with us, it's half a blender of whiskey, and then the other half is eggnog.
And ice. That's it.
Well, ice. Yeah, ice. Good point. Sure. Okay. And then I recommend you cancel all plans for tomorrow.
Already
this
done.
This is Kat's first blender drink with us.
This is part of the Hello Oblivion. Welcome to Christmas.
We'll be calling for
now,
a ride.
Kat, you do need to experience...
Two nights in a row.
Kat, what you do need to experience, and we'll be making them, we'll get them done. Ruthie's whiskey sours that Al makes. Oh,
I love me some whiskey sours,
We should
too.
Go ahead and let all of us know beforehand for that, and then I can just leave my car at home.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, I had
dignity, the English language, all of these things are lost.
Fair point. Thank you, sir. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Poor man.
As Harrison says, we go nonverbal.
Yeah, we just laugh and snort for 2 hours.
Those are my favorite
really
shows.
My
the
favorite
really
is
drunk
when
ones
he gets
are my
going?
Favorite.
The moonshine one.
When
the first
he read,
moonshine, not the second moonshine.
Not
that
the
one
second,
went sour.
That sour. Yeah. But the first one, totally organic, is live.
Yeah.
But when he read that menu, and when Al starts laughing... Like crazy, and then I'm done.
That Guy Fieri menu, that fucking killed me.
And even if it's not, I cannot contain it. I'm laughing my ass off because he is having such a good time. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nothing else I can do.
Funny stuff.
Hysterical.
Oh, all right, well, toast, everybody. Here's our first eggnog of the season.
Cheers.
And this one was has got
booze in it.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Oh, well. I'll need a ride.
I wasn't ready for that.
As delicious as always.
Lovely.
Why do you have a friend?
What's that?
Why do you have a frown?
I was just tasting.
Oh, okay.
That's what whiskey tastes like, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome
aboard.
I'm in.
Sure, well, you can't be out.
Yeah, totally. I do enjoy
well,
that.
You can be. We'll just drink your drink out of your hand. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not
well, I enjoyed
that.
My first eggnog.
And we will have enjoyed your time
well,
with us on
our,
the show.
That's a holiday drinks.
And by the way, I saw
it's
Jenny.
Whiskey.
I saw Jenny last night, the our liquor rep from Deep Eddie Vodka.
Uh-huh.
She's ready to come in.
$2.95.
She's got wine ready. She wants to do a wine show.
Girl,
and I'm like, well, you got wine, people.
Yep. Yeah, I guess.
Here she's going to come back. Good. But maybe we should do a holiday drink show like early December.
We're right in the middle of it.
Well, I guess we are. I was thinking more 1st of December.
Can't get any more holiday-ish than whiskey. Yeah. I mean, let's be grind up Santa or one of the reindeer to put it in the motherfucker.
Oh, Drew, thank you for your comment. He says he just heard the... 911 episode. Glad he heard it last night. And
we're all gonna start hunting now. We all gotta start looking through our 911 calls.
Crime scene footage segment was a good time.
That's
That's
our homework for this week. We're gonna find a 911 call.
I'll write that down. 911. Well, keeping up with what we all do every week. Kat, what have you been up to? Anything new and exciting? How about employment?
Oh, she's been working around.
I have been working all over the place. No, I freed up some time in my schedule, and then I promptly filled it with booze.
Well done.
I applaud these choices.
I caught up with our friends Ron Rogers and Gina Florio again yesterday. And
Dangerous names.
Yeah, that's what I said, too.
I appreciate it, but dangerous names.
I maybe intentionally showed up like 3 hours late to the party.
Oh.
Yeah. And still got driven home and passed out.
That's a tough crowd.
Yeah. Now, in her defense, part of the reason that she wanted to show up late is she didn't have to do any of the planning for the bike tour.
I did none of
Sunday.
The work.
Yeah.
They were half in the bag when I got there.
I'm like,
good.
What the hell do you have to plan? Stop.
Actually do decide which bars they're going to go to, and then actually Gina, to be courteous to the bars, goes to them a week early and says, look, we're coming with 50 fucking people.
So
that bar that only may have one bartender during any given Sunday, they might have a secondary bartender.
That's nice.
So they let everybody know that
they're
coming.
Ours are much smaller when we do them from work. But we get a number, and then there's always the people that start doing shots at the first one, and you're like, all right, listen, amateurs.
We got a whole day of this. Yeah.
Right. And then it turns out, like, the first one we went to was supposed to be 10 bars from Tempe to Charlie's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the hot mess that was the three of us that landed at Charlie's. I think we started with, like, 15 people, and people didn't make it past the second bar because they're, like, slamming shots. I'm like, marathon people.
Yeah.
Plus, shots, we're doing a drink at every bar. That's 15 drinks.
You weigh
92 pounds.
Play the long game. First of all, you have to eat.
Yeah.
And that's when we started at Rula Bula's. We started an Irish pub because they don't make anything healthy.
Right.
They can't even spell the
word
salad.
Shepherd pie.
Exactly. Your salad is inside
which
a
which is what I'm ordering.
With a cream sauce. No. Yeah.
And it was deep fried.
No. That's how you serve.
Julia Guglia was on the I can't remember if she was on the second one, because I got a little tipsier at the second one. But the first one she was at, and
yeah,
she held up.
No. Not a girl.
She made it. She made it as long as she planned to.
Well, that's good.
That works.
So you're planning bar tours. Oh, and you're doing a. Do we want? Can we talk about this?
I mean, let's
for Saturday
go
night,
ahead, please.
Well, Saturday night is for those of you who maybe
haven't shot your Halloween wad.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, there's more wad to come.
Can't get enough of your costume.
Friday obviously is the big Halloween day, and local bars, not only here for wherever you're listening, I'm sure, are participating in
across doing it. The nation.
One local bar here in town has decided he's going to extend it and have it Friday and Saturday. So guest bartender and
guest
local
bartender.
Radio personality Kat Carlson is going to be
appearing as Stacey's
at
Friday.
Yeah. At Melrose.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice.
So we were sitting on the patio last night talking about all this stuff, and it came up, and I'm literally on my phone, and I put Kat in the system immediately with her passcode.
Nicely done.
And in moments, you were inside talking to Stacey about organizing everything. I get a text from Stacey because when you logged into the terminal last night, you clocked in.
Sure.
So he was doing payroll.
But I never clocked out.
Right. He was doing payroll today, and there were 14 hours, and he texted me laughing. He goes, should I? He said, should I pay her out for this?
Or, yes. Or, Stacey, yes. Yeah. Please do. I was working very hard.
Or he said, should I kick this back to the other place where she used to work? I'm like, nope.
No,
let's just let her go.
Also, funny.
Okay.
Very funny.
Yeah. So,
well, thank God for the glowing recommendation that Cosette gave me earlier in the day. Did you hear that story?
Oh, that was actually tell that story. That is a very funny story.
So apparently they're out at lunch, and I don't know why, but my name came up, and you know, everybody's like, oh, what do you think of Kat? And everybody's like, you know, relatively warm feelings. In general. I mean, I don't think
it's polite to quote me. Relatively warm.
Right.
Lukewarm reception.
I don't think it's polite to brag. So I believe I got, you know, 4-star reviews all around.
Okay.
And then, like, because
out of how many? What are we talking?
Thank you.
I don't know, like 6, 7.
All right. Okay.
Fair point.
She's got an overachiever.
Yeah, right. 60%. We're
good. For sure. So then it comes to Cosette's turn, and she's like, oh, my God, I hate that fucking bitch. Can't stand her. Screwed my best friend over. Like, all this shit.
Dead serious.
Oh, she means it.
But wait till you understand.
Oh, she means it. And so, yeah, like,
what?
Stacey Lewis is like, oh, well, all right then. And just kind of moves on. And, like, 2 hours later, she's like, oh, my fucking God, you were talking about Kat Carlson. And she, like, gets on her phone. She's like, somebody please tell Stacey that, no, I was talking about a whole other cat. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
All my rave review. And then I bumped into her at Stacey's.
Tell me that.
Yeah. Oh, and, well, sure.
I was thinking, you're like,
that's, you're like, Kat,
trying to figure it out. Thank you. Oh, wow, that's very,
so
very...
So then I bump into
the dangers of lesbians and cats seem to be a real one.
Yeah.
Careful.
So all of a sudden... Cosette felt horrible.
My rave recommendation
from
Cosette.
Yeah. Yes, that was quite
that's
funny.
That's fucking bitch.
Fuck her.
Luke wore my ass.
Because everybody else seems to love this person, but her, Jesus.
The curve went down.
I don't know.
It's a bell curve.
Right.
So I am looking at the bell curve. Right?
You're right. Luke warm. You're
right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one curve or the other, really.
Yeah.
That's all.
But
it's
I got a big kick out of it. But I look forward to seeing you behind the bar. In a whole different place. I don't think I've ever seen you in another bar. I mean, I've seen you in other bars. Yeah.
I mean, you've seen me drunk in other bars, but
yes.
Well played.
Another lukewarm reception with that.
Yeah, that's true. People are like,
all right.
She's drunk.
Cat's here. Oh.
Oh. That bitch.
Her middle name is Tepid.
I thought that passed for a warm welcome.
Yeah.
No.
That's how I greet my friends. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, good. Hi.
Mm. Well, your social screening's not taking place here.
Oh, you're here. Well, I gotta go.
So good to see you.
Yeah. But I've been kind of a one-trick pony for a really long time, and I did do like a moonlight over at Cobalt one time. Gina was doing like a ladies' night or something, and did a very fun shift over there. And I've done the Pride and the Rodeo and. You know, all the volunteer camping bartending.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Camping bartending.
It is.
I'm learning all new phrases.
I know, I get it.
The show is about education.
Yeah. I love camping bartending because it's like one vodka, one rum, maybe a gin, probably not.
Yeah. And usually people don't give a shit if you get it wrong or not.
Yeah.
I did cater waitering, but bartending, and it was always like, Vodka tonic. And then there's the really exotic vodka soda.
Look out.
And I'd like a glass of your house. And I like when they say your house, Chardonnay. Like, bitch, it was free. And no, we don't have any other kind. There's no wine list behind me.
At one point.
Yeah,
exactly. The best we can do.
Ernie has asked if we could plan the holiday blended beverage show ahead so she can take the next day off.
You can make this at home. Well, it's just so simple. Half a blender of whiskey, half a blender of eggnog, and then a glass of wine to get you through it till it's ready.
Mm-hmm. Which is just seconds.
Yeah.
But fair point.
That timer is turned off. I was told it was unplugged.
It's unplugged. It is.
You can't prove
God
it.
God damn it.
We'll get that fixed.
God damn it.
I mean,
Kathleen.
You have to get the ingredients.
They were in a whole nother room.
You must quench your thirst.
The ingredients are in a whole nother room.
Yeah. Look at all completely the good separate. You do.
I know.
It's just.
It's good. This cross is heavy. I carry it everywhere.
How does it feel when we pull the nails out of your hands? Jesus.
It's delightful. Really the best part about the cross experience is when the nails come out.
Yes. Can you get down? We have to reuse this. Okay, thank you very much.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
We only have one set. A couple cast members. Get down.
We have others coming, but they're on back order. The Catholics are keeping them up.
All right.
Marnie, what are you doing down there?
Oh, just highlighting.
Highlighting.
Good.
Yeah, just working it out.
Term paper.
Term paper, yes. Yeah, actually.
Back in school.
Yeah, love it.
Fuck that.
The week has been just lovely. Just working. And the AIDS walk, which was always nice.
Yeah.
We went to the fair last Friday.
Okay.
Which is just a delightful spin on being able to mock people.
Yeah.
And being able to be mocked. Like, I think that's always the fair thing. You know, people say, oh, don't be mean. Oh, fuck off. Because people are being mean as I'm walking. I mean, people have comments to make. Like, we all just comment.
Right.
Oh, God, there was so much to comment on. I am some of that. I'm not sure, like, if some of the moms woke up that day and said, oh, my God, my daughter's shirt would look really good on me. No, it wouldn't, because she's three, and you are not small. Right. I mean, I don't even know how they kind of get in. I don't know.
Without fairs, where do tube tops happen? In nature, where does one find a tube top?
Rodeo.
Out of the fair?
I feel like rodeo.
Walmart.
I think
rodeo.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I have a choice when I get to 15th Avenue in McDowell to go to work. I can go left and go to work, or I can go right and go to Tube Top Central. I got to tell you, all the salmon swimming upstream while I'm heading to the hospital, they are all in tube tops. And I'm like, seriously.
And I don't. And their daughter's pants. Like, I don't under. Like, yeah. None of it looks comfortable.
And there's nothing pretty happening from the bottom of the tube top to the top of the mini short.
No, and again, I'm not that. People
stretch,
can look at
stretch marks and pasty.
It's really a maxi short, but they're a little bit more maxi than the short.
Yeah. The short. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the humanity top. That walks past me. Just.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the manatee.
Yeah. Don't feed them, pet them, or chase them across the ocean.
That's exactly what we were saying at the fair.
Oh, the manatee.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. It was very interesting. It was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I have no desire to go.
And I'm very proud of that one family that gets that next to all the old Winchell's Donuts. Now it's like a tax place. Oh, Jesus. My vibrator slipped out. I'm sorry. But there's that one place that still gets their $10 a parking space in that one shitty lot.
Uh-huh.
All of McDowell is an open lot.
Yep.
But those people have that one thing.
Read Molly's comment.
Mom still cries every time she sees a Tilt-A-Whirl or a fat lady in a tube top.
We when she was over, we found Allison Janney's, the best of her from, and I have it, that I wanted to send to you from Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Okay.
Just to take little snippets that when we're doing stuff, you could just play, because they'd be fucking hysterical. I was crying listening to the best of her for Drop Dead Gorgeous.
When I'm 100 years old.
Now, what is it Mom always says? Once a carny, always a carny. I mean, just, oh, God. Oh, you're cute. I got some.
That's my favorite line. That, when I'm 100 years old, that movie will still be one of the fucking funniest
things. Mom, well, why is she's yelling Mom? Because she's got Tourette's. What do you think? Oh, my God. Oh.
Just, like, God, I just think about that movie and I'm amused for a day.
Oh, I am too. She is just hysterical.
I hope that when they tell me I have cancer or terminal disease, they have Drop Dead Gorgeous playing behind us. I'll be like, oh, I don't care. Yeah. It's just funny.
I just keep playing it.
You know the Tarts fans are completely off now, right?
When he runs into...
Oh, God, you too.
I go non- that window falls off.
I go nonverbal during that movie. It is so fucking funny.
What a race.
She went into the neighbor's yard like a lawn dart.
She grabbed your tap shoes and put them in her pants.
Okay. We gotta get out this because we'll just sit here and read that.
Yes, we will.
Just for you.
Perkins? Working every day?
Last week, big work week, and then Sunday, I just said, fuck it, and went to bed, and I really have not woken up since. had a little Halloween movie festival yesterday, and went to a great movie today, which I'll tell you about later.
Okay.
And that was about it. It was just very pleasant. Just been off and trying to clean the house for Debbie's visit.
Oh, yes.
So I'm trying to take it like one square foot at a time.
Is she coming at the end of... Next
yeah, but,
month?
I'm, but I'm very lazy.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And that's actually a good call. I should start cleaning now, because usually I do about 3 hours before y'all show up on Friday.
On that Friday after?
Yeah, so maybe I need to do that, too.
So, and what was the bigger disaster, the tube top or the Hindenburg? I don't know.
That's debatable.
The Hindenburg suffering ended when that thing hit the ground. The tube top thing is
well, the Hindenburg
that
actually
continues.
The Hindenburg actually, there was loss of life. On. So, I don't know that anybody's died from a tube top.
Well, some people have walked into things. Yeah. Like, oh, my God, and then died. Maybe,
I don't think death.
Maybe.
I don't think death.
Maybe.
I'm not sure death is the bigger tragedy here.
You can't unsee a tube top.
Right.
Oh, that's a good call.
We're all going to die. We don't all have to see a tube top.
Oh, please.
Choose your method of death carefully.
How about you, fun, sir?
Oh, it's been the same. Like, we were all at the AIDS Walk together, obviously, so that was a good time.
It was so good to see your mom.
Getting,
my mama died.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was mostly both your moms.
Yeah.
It was. I was. We had oddly, and I don't know how that happened, we had not... talked about all that, so I get there and I'm like, oh, I don't even know if she's coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. And then, as we're standing there for the picture, of course, she showed up, and Barb was like, by all means, Marnie, take your time.
By the way, Cal, that's not for you. To me being later. I wasn't late.
The whole crowd, though.
I slept in for The Cure, so.
Well played.
You did a good job.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Thank you.
As we're all standing there getting our picture taken here, Marnie and Jason and Ernie and Mom just show up at their leisure, and then they stand still and watch us get our picture taken. We're waiting for you, fuckers.
I jumped in.
Huh?
I jumped in.
Yeah, like 20 minutes later,
whatever.
We were all standing here.
I was waiting.
It takes a long time to pull
I saw Buddy Early coming in, and then Mom was coming. So that's what we were waiting for.
Oh.
Well. That's all. It was lovely.
Like, Buddy Early was there like a half an hour before.
Well, he came walking back in.
Oh,
because I didn't see him before.
He had time to leave and jump back.
Yeah, he went and ran an errand and came back just in time.
That was one of the coolest things was Greg Stanton. At the AIDS Walk. I mean, just
and I didn't want to put it on the page because he was tagged on there, but the whole time we were taking the picture, I'm like, who is this fucker? I voted for him.
Idea.
I say nice things about him.
Funny.
I finally say, I get dragged into a picture. He's like, come take your picture. I'm like, who is this fucker? And then I see a picture later that day, and I'm like, I see Ernie's thing about I love living in a town with a supportive mayor. I'm like, well, I heard he was there, but where was he?
Right in the middle. Center.
That explains the look on your face then more, because you're like, I'm here, but I don't know why I'm here.
I was like, that'd be a great shot for the show. Like, I thought that would be very fun. But
That was funny.
That was really funny.
What a nice guy.
Yes.
In fact, I had another one. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I had no idea. I thought, well, he's pretty cute. He's a very handsome fellow.
I didn't see his wife anywhere, though.
She may have been there.
She could have been. I don't know. But I did not see her.
Yep.
So anyway, that was a good time. And then obviously, I get to the BS West Halloween show. That's all behind us now.
And that
always happens. Well, I got through it. we laid down wire, set up computers.
Nobody wore a tube top or died.
They all worked. Yeah, so there's that. So, we all made, we all survived. I mean, first we were afraid, but then we got
We're petrified, yeah.
No, all that. Oh my gosh, 7:33 on the old. Huh?
I was just going to continue with I Will Survive. Carry on.
Oh, okay. Carry on, carry over, Cary Grant, whatever.
Do your thing.
Yeah. We're going to come back with headlines and continue on with all the stuff. Plus, we're going to make Pop-Tarts in a little while, so stick around for that, won't you? I will.
You're listening to Cue Talk America.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
the Q Talk America Radio Network.
All righty, here we go. A look at some headlines on a Tuesday night coming to you from Q Talk America and the show. Here we go. Potty peeper sues for discrimination.
I sing with dead people.
Darth Vader hopes the Force is with him.
The candy's good, but otherwise Halloween is tasteless.
Man accused of giving officer a wet willy.
It's semen biscuits.
Man fakes coma for 2 years to avoid court.
Car fucking anyone?
And Dolly Parton chastises Christians for judging the gays. Yeah. This and more coming right now.
Stirring
answer. Isn't it real? And I like it when we hit the post and it actually gives us our big finish there. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Nice.
Well, a man, and this story, I had to read this twice to absorb, and that's not even a worse word to use in regards to this story. To
the semen biscuit?
No, that's her story.
Thwarted.
A man who hid in the tank of a portable toilet at a yoga festival back in 2011.
Oh, that's a lot of granola.
That's a lot of years in a toilet.
Well, he hid that to spy on women using the Boulder County or using the porta potty. He is suing the Boulder County, Colorado jail and the sheriff's office for discrimination. Now, before I go on with this, I want you to understand this is the porta potty, and then the tank is at the bottom.
Yeah.
He went into the porta potty. And then went in through the toilet opening and sat in that blue water waiting.
Really, not really blue.
That's just that's insane. Anyway, so the Daily Camera reports that 34-year-old Luke Crisco is sinking $99,999, saying deputies lost his legal documents, threatened him, and repeatedly moved him to different areas of the jail, quote, without cause for the purpose of driving me insane.
Probably get away from the smell.
Well, it could have been that. Crisco was recently arrested for failing to complete his sex offender treatment, which is a condition of his 10-year intensive supervised probation. Now, he was initially arrested after a woman at the yoga festival noticed something moving in the tank of the portalette.
Why is she looking down there?
Nightmare. Then she later saw a
downward dog.
She later then saw a feces-stained man emerge and run away.
Okay.
Police say he was also suspected of hiding in other bathrooms around Boulder, Colorado, to watch women use the facilities.
That is too much fetish and too much. People that do yoga eat weird food. That's not a good
solid
food.
That's a lot of kale.
Yeah. I wasn't even going into that at rest.
Next story.
I don't know how long it takes to get that blue stain. I mean, when you do a Tidy Bowl tablet in your toilet here, to get the blue stain off your fingers sometimes takes weeks. He must look like a Smurf.
There's got to be. We're going to have to review all this.
Brown ass blue makes what? A shitty head. You're a Smurfy shitty head.
Yeah, I love Cal says, that's
Smurfing shitty.
That's a very specific amount of money.
And what did they do? Flush his toilet and his paperwork down?
I don't know, but they lost it, bastards. All right, go ahead, Mark.
Sons of bitches. Well, one of my favorites, personally. I sing with dead people.
Oh, Barry Manilow.
Duets with the deceased, exactly.
Oh.
Barry's CD has been released. And this article just cracked me up. It says, oh my God, hilarious. Barry Manilow has recorded an album of duets with dead people. They're all dead. Dead, dead, dead. And he's releasing it in a few days before Halloween. So it was yesterday. After all, Barbara Streisand and Tony Bennett have duet albums. Why not Barry? Of course, Barbara did resurrect Elvis for her album. Now it's Barry's turn to be the Crypt Keeper. And it goes on, but the album, I've already gotten it.
Like, okay.
So I haven't received it yet, but I bought it.
So what post-mortem singers...
Judy Garland.
The Al has his finger on the pulse of
Whitney Houston.
He is going to be doing I Believe in You and Me with Whitney.
Okay.
And he tried to do that on The View today. He was two lines into it, and I was like, no.
Real bad.
I don't even know. He sang the first two lines, and I'm like, I just can't know how this is going.
Okay. Well, you know, don't be disappointed.
Louis
There's no
Armstrong.
Monster Mash. That's right. What a Wonderful World. Marilyn Monroe, I Want to Be Loved by You, Sammy Davis Jr., Dusty Springfield, Andy Williams, Judy Garland, John Denver.
Moon River from Andy Williams. That was the one that I was maybe intrigued by.
Right? I know. I was like, I don't
Wait,
know.
Wait, no, go back and
Mama
say
Cass.
What's Dream a Little Dream of Me?
With Mama Cass.
Mm-hmm. So what's go back? Who are, what are the
John
other?
John Denver, Sunshine on My Shoulders.
Oh, Gives Me Sunburn. Yeah.
Judy Garland, Zing, Went the Strings of My Heart.
Okay.
Dusty Springfield, The Look of Love. Sammy Davis Jr., The Candyman.
Ugh.
I know. God. Frankie Lyman, Goody Goody. I don't even know if I know that.
Frankie and the Teenagers. I think that's who Frankie Lyman is.
Because I'm not.
Why Do Fools Fall in Love? I think that's Frankie Lyman.
Okay.
I think he had a solo career. Oh, the Candyman.
And that's Jimmy Durante. The song's gotta come from the heart.
That'll be cute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued.
We're on Pierre on Schmalt, but yeah. I absolutely could not. With the way that man does a key change and. What's he going to do with Whitney Houston? Make her change keys?
Well, the one thing
I will have to—I, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Whitney, but that woman did not need a key change. And if it was a key change in the right direction. It was not a cheating key change.
Okay. Like, well, we'll see. I just thought it was, and it did look schmaltzy.
I'm a fan of Lowe. Mm-hmm. I love me some Barry.
Totally.
You know what I mean? There's no road trip without the Barry Manilow's greatest hits because I'm ready to take a chance again. Absolutely. In song, on a highway.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Weekend in New England. Mm-hmm. When I got to New England and was driving around in my rental car, let me tell you how often Weekend in New England was played.
Yeah.
A lot.
And crank that shit up.
When will our eyes meet? When will this strong yearning end? I'm not sure, but it might be right about the time you do duet with Whitney Houston.
Could be just now when you sing with dead people.
Yeah, it might be a minute.
So when I receive that, I will bring that over.
Now.
Yeah. Could be.
Countdown is progressing. But that plastic surgery, I mean,
it's not good.
No.
He and Kenny Rogers are in some kind of male, well, and Bruce Jenner. Let's not forget the decathlon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he just changed everything.
What do you call that?
I mean, he's still
Barry.
But that still looks like Barry. Was Kenny Rogers, if he shaved his beard, I wouldn't know who that was.
Well, Kenny Rogers and Bruce Jenner look like women.
Yeah, they really do.
With facial hair.
Yeah. And Barry Manilow always looked like a woman.
Right.
No facial hair.
Correct.
Oh.
Correct.
My apologies to your predicament. I don't know.
We're coming back to the Carney conversation. Really.
If I can shave parts of my body, bitch, so can you. I don't care about your hair problem.
God. Marty almost spit. Eggnog.
It's called equal opportunity, motherfuckers. Put it in the blender and shut up about it. Mm. All right. So that was caring.
Eggnog and whiskey in the nose. Not good. No. Not right super comfortable.
As nice as it sounds, no.
Write that down.
No. Eggnog. Keep that out.
Nasal passage.
Do whatever you need to. Avoid.
Life lesson, girls.
Well, here's a life lesson for you. That's a segue. One candidate in the Ukraine's parliamentary elections hopes to bring voters to the dark side. His name? Darth Akelsavik Vader.
Ooh.
Dressed in full Star Wars regalia. Oh, wait. Stand by. Hang on. I forgot. I totally forgot about this. I have to do this for this story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
dressed in full Star Wars regalia. Vader prowls.
To it all day.
He prowls the streets of Kiev atop a black campaign van, wooing voters with promises to turn Ukraine into, quote, a galactic empire. So serious is he about all his vision that he even legally changed his name to Darth Vader ahead of the elections. He was previously known as Viktor Shevchenko. The electrician.
Of course he was.
The electrician turned interplanetary warlord insists his internet party is serious business. Now, speaking to the Associated Press from the rooftop of his van, flanked by stormtroopers and shrouded in white smoke, Vader explained that his top goal is to computerize all government business. And now I will attempt a Darth Vader voice while reading a quote.
Oh, good.
How do I do it? Do I do it like this? When I get to the parliament, I will expel all the deputies. They have proven their uselessness, he says. Computers will work in their place, and they will fulfill their functions without cease.
Pollsters
predict his party, which also includes a man with the name of Stefan Chewbacca on the list.
Sure. Well played.
He has very little chance of getting into parliament in Sunday's vote. Huh? Still, the public greets Vader enthusiastically when he drives around the Capitol atop his van, which he refers to as his helicopter. Now, despite his pledge to enhance transparency, Vader declines to even show his own face to the public. Well, it got him banned from voting this past May in a presidential election by the Electoral Commission because they said that he was violating voter rules. Vader is not shying away from his...
Vader.
From the thornier issues of the day to the ominous backdrop of his Imperial March theme from Star Wars, which I'm playing now. He thundered from the top of his van that he would win the war against separatist rebels in the East, even as he withdrew government troops, and he vowed to reclaim the Crimean Peninsula, and which has been annexed by Russia in last March. How will he achieve these feats? Quote,
a military space station will be built that will protect the whole territory of the Ukraine.
And that... It's Darth Vader in the Ukraine.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Really?
Just two?
Just two.
Just the two.
Number one, how long did you practice that today?
I didn't do it one time.
Stellar job. And number two, did you used to crank call the cash circa like 2006?
Because I recognize that breathing. Yeah.
No. No, I grew tired of prank calling years ago when I used to call my grandmother at her own restaurant after I heard somebody say, do you have frog's legs? How do you get your pants on? I did that once or twice.
My cunt.
Cal, we loved the Rent Is Too Damn High guy.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yes. He was fantastic.
Rent Is Too Damn High.
And then Saturday Night Live had a field day with him. Now I have to hold like Madonna, Evita, John Williams, this thing. As much as I... make fun. I don't really like the movie Star Wars, and John Williams drives me crazy. That is the perfect mix of his scores for those three or nine or however many fucking movies there are.
I don't know.
Are just genius. That Star Wars theme.
I can literally listen to the soundtrack.
Oh, I can. Just, I can too. And I've only seen the movie once, but I've listened to that soundtrack 100 times. It's just.
Oh, and I love
that. Oh, that Imperial March is just.
I love the Cantina Band.
Stirring.
The Cantina Band.
The actual scoring. No, I'm just saying the scoring of it. That's not part of the score. It's the scoring of that movie is, to me, is just genius. Like, it really gets across that feeling of, like, a, yeah. You know, like an action adventure. And then Imperial March is.
Yeah.
But what's the main theme? The main theme from Star Wars. I mix it up with Indiana Jones all the time because luckily John Williams doesn't have a doesn't have a big vocabulary. But if anybody invites me to go see him at the Hollywood Bowl, I'll go.
Sure.
That one?
So excited. We just listen to this.
No, because well, we can't. No, unless we're critiquing.
I'll critique it. It's fucking amazing.
It's fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing.
Right. And I guess I being alive in 1977 and not going to see Star Wars. He got hit with a lot of. I had no interest. I never saw it. But I got to tell you, I loved that music when at the Oscars because it was supposed to win Best Picture and it won very few awards that year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! You just were waiting because you know you do the theme music. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of disappointed that year. I liked all the things better that won, but I wanted. That Star Wars theme
is always stirring.
It really is. And that and Indiana Jones are him at his best. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man in a mission.
So good. Any more?
No, continue on, Mark.
All right. So, Halloween candy is always going to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Halloween costumes have changed a bit over the years.
A couple different ways.
So, what I initially saw was really, really, really concerning. But then I found this article about Halloween kids in the 70s as opposed to today, and it made me laugh, and then we'll do
in
that.
In hot, flammable plastic?
All right, then we'll go back to the thing that really was
hot,
disturbing. In the 70s, the night before Halloween, your tired mom takes you to Kmart, where you look through the picked-over plastic masks and matching costumes. You clutch that $5.99 Cinderella or Spider-Man mask and matching costume to your chest on the way home. As you slide around on the bench seat without the seatbelt.
On the armrest.
Today, 3 months before Halloween, your mom starts researching politically correct costumes and narrows it down to three choices. Family meeting is held, and everyone votes on their costumes. After she spends $279 at the local craft store to purchase the non-allergenic material and locally made glue, only exchanging the green material twice to get the exact shade of the corn husk. She has you model the finished product with a series of 17 photos so that she can blog about the steps to making it, then post it to Pinterest and Instagram. When you get ready.
There's not one word to this that's really fun. You know what I mean? All of this is dead serious. Yeah.
Getting ready that night. In the 70s, you'd bust through the door from school and run straight to your costume, put it on over your school clothes.
In a mask you couldn't breathe or see traffic through. Yeah. Cars were coming right at you.
There you go.
Yeah.
You come home today from school. Your mom has a tray of organic vegetables fashioned into non-scary Halloween shapes, like smiling pumpkins and happy ghosts with a side of homemade hummus.
$4.95.
My mom there's would beat two. The shit out of his mom. I love totally. Hummus.
I mean,
she would rise from the hummus. Dead. She would rise from the dead just to kick her a little bit. While having a glass of this delicious whiskey concoction.
Yes, exactly.
Your mom double checks the Neighborhood Association's newsletter to ensure that she's right about the designated trick-or-treating hours of 6:37 p.m. to 8:01 p.m.
Eastern Standard
Time. That's right. Halloween night for the trick-or-treating in the 70s, of course, the street lights click on. Your mom rips two pillowcases off of the pillows, hands one to you and one to your brother to put the candy at. And then she hands you an old flashlight that weighs about 2 pounds, and you take off. Today, your mom presents you with an organic tote, which she has stenciled your name, the holiday, and the year with dye that she's made from soaking organic fruits and vegetables. She clips four flashing orange lights, shaped like small pumpkins, of course, onto your costume bag at 6:34. She buckles you into the back of the Range Rover. These are today. Now, the candy for today, in the 70s, I should say, I'm sorry, in the 70s, you rush into the house, dump the candy from your pillowcase onto the floor. Your mom immediately takes the apple because it has razor blades in it, and the Pop Rocks because they make your stomach explode, especially if you mix them with Coke in your mouth.
These are not 70s. Those are 80s stories.
It is the 80s.
I'm gonna land this at a specific year.
We're going to go with children born in the 70s.
Right.
Okay.
Today,
I'll
your mom carefully...
Hey, that makes me younger. I'll go with it.
Right. Your mom helps you out of your costume today. You go upstairs, take a shower while your mom swabs your candy wrap for signs of drugs, explosive, other illegal substances, throws away the products that are not organic, and separates the candy into chocolates versus non-chocolates. The last one is in the 70s, for after Halloween, you wear the costume every single day until it falls apart. The cracked plastic mask lasts a little longer because your mom keeps replacing it, replacing that broken rubber string on the back with a rubber band. Today, after Halloween, your mom carefully rinses your non-GMO corn costume in the organic homemade laundry detergent, discreetly hangs it to dry in the laundry room so she doesn't waste electricity in the dryer. After your mom carefully folds it, she places it in a recycled bag of hand-sewn fibers and donates it to the church for next year's costume exchange. Now, in reading that, I thought that was just fantastic. And here, then, is the thing that caught me, and I have handouts. Because I was abhorred. Please hand that down to Clinton.
Oh, yeah, I knew this. I've seen this. I didn't see a child in it. I saw a bunch of white people in this costume.
They had the Ray Rice Halloween costume that you won't believe. And so thinking back and reading that one about, like, how fun, I remember when I was little and you throw together a costume or you do whatever. And now it's this kid, I don't know if that's something that anyone, if you can show that on there, Clayton, but that the person put on there, the person who posted the video.
We look like people going looking for help in a horror movie.
The person who posted the photo captioned greatest costume ever. So the fact that people even think that is okay.
I'm okay with it. I think it's funny. It's not funny for school.
I think as far as for a kid, I think it's really a huge problem.
I think there's an age level here of like 13 and up. It's funny. Help us.
If it's about older and it's somebody that you can explain it to and how absolutely fucking wrong it is, whatever.
Right.
But for that child who's like, what, 4, 5,
yeah,
6, something, I mean, not old. I agree.
Older, funny, because you know I did the whole thing with Priscilla Presley and Yoko Ono where we had the dolls with us and we were like beating them on the tables because they were going to get the money. Yeah,
funny.
It's on my Facebook page. Anyways, I was dressed as Priscilla Presley and I had a baby doll and we didn't know what to do with the dolls. It was a white trash night, so we started they're going to get all the fucking money. So I like a little dark sense of humor.
Sure.
And a little,
and I'm okay
but
with
I think making your 5-year-old, this kid maybe looks like he's more like 8 or 9.
Even still.
That's too much because that's not funny. What
are you teaching
who's
the kid?
Who's going to get that joke?
Right.
And you're perpetuating that it's okay to hate her.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's what my problem is.
And that there might be humor involved in it.
Yes.
Right. There is, but not till later.
Well, and if you're, again, I'm going to say
until
that.
Until you're a bitter old bitch. Yeah.
I'm going to say that I would say no to the idea of that being okay, but I can, I'm not going to be offended.
Any kind of school setting, even through college, I think you're going to get into a lot of trouble. Even through college, you're going to get a lot of trouble. You go to a house party dressed as that, you're going to get some looks, but you're going to get some laughs and probably a free shot out of somebody.
Yeah, probably. I can go
but I have to say with the Apple thing, because I am trick-or-treating through the 70s.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Like, my last year trick-or-treating was 80, 81. Okay. I know we went when we were 13 because we thought we were too old and we thought we were the older kids. And I remember the one girl we were with was kind of flirting with. Oh, and Don knows her. Don from Washington. The girl that I went trick-or-treating with, she was kind of older and she was a little flirty because she had started to develop breasts.
Okay.
So we went to one guy's house that was single. And I'm like, how fucking creepy is that? Like,
that's
how you know you're in the year 1980. Yeah. When a 13-year-old with glasses and, like, fresh new boobs and a training bra is flirting with a guy that we know is living alone.
God, doesn't that mean something different?
When you actually wanted to flirt with him yourself?
Buy them.
Yeah.
Fresh new boobs.
No, I was okay with the guy we were trick-or-treating with. But I didn't need to go shopping anywhere else. But the weird thing is because, you know, I loved the original Halloween and saw it on HBO, but Halloween 2, I saw in the movies, and it came out the day before Halloween when I was 14. And let me tell you, we saw that the night it opened, and you were supposed to go trick-or-treating, and that's what we did in lieu of because we were too old. We were 14. We were too old to go trick-or-treating, so we went and saw Halloween 2 because all of us had seen it. And that's where the razor blade and the apple, that's where that whole thing comes from. It's from Halloween 2. It's in the emergency room with the kid with the razor blade in his mouth.
Okay.
Oh, let me tell you, there was no desire to ever go trick-or-treating again. Okay. I would never do it. It was
in the 80s where that whole thing started, where you had to start putting it through the
x-ray.
It was because of that movie
that they just introduced something that had never happened.
Okay. I thought it was needles. I thought it was
other things followed, but the original thing was the razor blade hidden in the apple, and that's from Halloween too. Like I had to Google it to make sure that it really was. Like it came out the day before Halloween, and we saw it. You were supposed to trick or treat on Friday. Like Halloween fell on a Saturday.
It didn't matter. Yeah, you would go.
You went after school, and I remember thinking, "Oh, we're too old. Too old. Can't go."
Did you ever the three of us? I don't. Thank you. Trick or treat during when it was snowing.
We just called it Halloween.
Yeah, totally.
Because most of the time you didn't know what anybody was because they had a snowmobile suit on. You know what I mean?
And like maybe and a mask, but you didn't know because you were cold.
You were like the burglar from McDonald's on a snowmobile. Like whatever you were, it was on a snowmobile. You were a fireman on a snowmobile. And all of us, and Don will attest to this because I'm sure her mom did something equally as horrible. But I was put into a snowmobile suit when the temperature dropped below 60. I was insulated and ready for the Arctic.
I'm the man.
When I saw that movie, you can put your arms down when you get to school. Like when he's like, I can't put my arms down. That was me. I went to a homecoming game in the sunshine where my sister was the homecoming princess, and I was dressed for nuclear winter, and it was sunny outside, but my mom had an idea that it might snow someday, and I was so frail. Oh my god, that is always me. My mom had that snowmobile
someday.
Suit. When I grew out of that snowmobile suit, it's like, listen, old lady, you put me in another one of those fucking uniforms.
I will choose my insulated wear.
Heads will roll, bitch. Yes. That was probably our first adult. Like, as two people of equal screaming fights that we ever had with that snowmobile suit getting burned in the yard. Like, don't even try it, woman. Every picture you see of me in the 70s, I'm in a snowmobile suit. It's summer, and I am zipped up pink here.
Was it pink?
Unfortunately, no. I might have lasted one more year.
Yeah. That would have been great.
But that's not true because I was never a pit. Mine was always blue or green.
Okay.
Like, anything red
or
orange.
I just remember that pink outfit that you had on that you showed when
salmon.
You were older.
I did not adapt to the red colors till much later.
Oh, okay.
As a kid, it was only blue or green.
Oh, okay.
Don't even fuck with me.
Don't try.
Oh, well, let's move on as we get to the end of the air.
Straight up.
Straight up.
And I'm sure you asked Dawn, because I think she's from like around 90th Street in Niagara Falls, and I'm from 60th Street. Like, we were just ready for all hell to break fucking loose.
Be prepared. It's always good.
Always prepared for a blizzard that came once.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Uh-huh. A man accused of licking his fingers and poking a Mankato police officer in both ears has pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor to avoid a further charge, a felony charge. The Mankato Free Press reports that 24-year-old Riley Swearingen pleaded guilty to disruptive intoxication on Monday. A police officer says Swearingen assaulted him with the move known as a wet willy. After Swearingen had been out drinking early Saturday, Swearingen was visiting on leave from a U.S. Air Force base in Goldsboro, North Carolina. He spent 3 days in jail after prosecutors charged him with assaulting a police officer with bodily fluids. Prosecutors say his blood alcohol content was a .18 at the time of his incident. Swearingen apologized before a judge on Monday. He agreed to a plea deal, which also included paying $77 in court costs.
I love that name, Swearingen.
Swearingen.
Yes.
Oh, awful. Oh, heaven's
sake. Wet willies are awful.
They're nasty.
Yeah, I'm not a...
That's what people in tube tops do to each other.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totes. Willie.
Totes McWillie.
Got that. It's the end of hour one. Two more hours coming up. We got the drinking word just after this top of the hour crossover. Marty Ryer is going to come back, and we're going to continue on with a few more of those little headline stories. Ted Carlson's got some other stuff coming up in addition to writing help me signs to the camera. Also, Pop-Tarts. I need a cocktail. So many things going on.
I think
it's right behind you.
Oh, I'll get there. All right, we're coming back right after this little crossover with more headlines right here on Q Talk America. She's not kidding.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening again, once again. This is the beginning of what we call Hour 2 here on the show. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, who's something with the blender. He's been running around. Excuse me, running around. We made our first eggnog drink of the year because it was at the store and I saw it. Very exciting stuff. You get it all figured out over there?
Yeah.
Moxie. There you are.
Moxie.
I don't know where the fuck that came from. North idea. Doesn't matter. Well, thank you for...
You want to lick the beer?
No.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yes, that'll be after the show, and it doesn't involve any of you.
Terribly uncomfortable.
Nice, mommy's turned the mixer off.
little, my tongue. That would be a bitch.
Kat and I are
going to
leave that alone.
I'm sure you will.
No.
Oh. Uh-huh.
That's not part of lesbian bed death.
No.
That's lesbian bed resurrection.
The reawakening.
Well, we're going to do the blender trick again.
Honey, bring the KitchenAid. Got a suction cup.
Yeah, I gotta get that Tupperware. Burp it.
Burp and seal. As we do at the beginning of each and every second hour, Will, we start with a little thing called the drinking word, but is our legal disclaimer.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking word is jalapeno! Hey!
That was completely unexpected, I think.
It is, because for some reason my phone is playing a picture of a jalapeno!
Are you sure that's a jalapeno?
I just streamed our... us And there's a commercial with a person that says the fuck you sign.
Nice.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the fuck you. But there was a commercial going on during the disclaimer for jalapenos at McDonald's. Why does McDonald's have... I'm currently watching a slide that's very freaky.
No, it's because... Where is that sound coming from?
From this. From this phone. From the
YouTube. Jalapeno. No, it's because unless you are... we can pay an exorbitant amount of money and have no commercials to interviewers, but the viewers can subscribe, I believe, for like $3 a month. And commercials will go away in the video feed. So that's but they
just watched a commercial for McDonald's, and McDonald's has something with jalapenos in it. So
they do. It's the jalapeno burger. It's really actually good.
It's probably a way to get diarrhea faster. Jalapeno.
I like your enthusiasm, sir or ma'am.
Over either jalapenos or diarrhea, we're not sure which one.
I'll allow it.
One leads to another. You know what I mean? Either way, I'm thinner.
One thing leads to another.
My stomach's on fire, my ass is on fire. Either way.
There's that.
Time for semen biscuits?
Sure.
All right. Yo, jalapenos!
Well, it's an update. I have a... It's a sad picture, really. I don't believe in having listened back some that you all had talked about the teen arrested in a Florida Walmart for having sex with a stuffed horse.
Yeah, remember that story. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I'm happy to forget it.
Well, poor thing. 19-year-old walked into a Walmart and jerked off on a stuffed horse. Well, we have an update.
The horse is pressing charges. $99,999.
No. Normally we do
the
not
fly
release.
Finish the job.
A picture of the victim, but...
Is that pokey?
That's semen biscuit.
Now I get the semen biscuit.
Semen biscuit.
That's your first pun that I agree with.
Thanks.
I'm on board with semen biscuit.
Oh, that's the kind of story not where you hope drugs were involved, because then maybe there'd be a good excuse
Police released a photo of the stuffed horse toy victim of a Walmart masturbator.
Oh, it's not okay.
Well, something got rolled back.
Then it did. And then put back after he got done.
Oh!
Put the horse.
Look at that poor mom that did all GMO-free fabric.
I know, right? Well,
she's got a semen-crusted horse. Bring
the
it up
store's
the rear.
Loss prevention team spotted him actually suspiciously and called the cops, who arrested him in the parking lot.
He was relieved.
A few gems from the police report state that Sean Johnson, 19, selected a brown and tan and red stuffed horse from the clearance shelf in the garden department. In the clearance shelf from the garden department. Really? What? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
He then went to the comforter aisle in the houseware section, proceeded to pull out his genitals.
Wait, did you read that? Did you read that? My sticky pony.
I was going to use that too.
My sticky pony.
It's too much.
It comes in all colors.
White,
or at least one.
Exactly. Creamy, pearlescent.
After
mother of pearl,
he pulled out his genitals and proceeded to hump the stuffed horse, utilizing short, fast movements. The Ludash was captured by surveillance cameras after Johnson achieved an orgasm and ejaculated onto the stuffed horse's chest area. He placed the soiled stuffed horse on top of a bed in a bag comforter set, contaminating that property also. The Brony Gone Wild was charged with
Brony Gone Wild
and criminal mischief, which sounds way better than sex assault on a toy, and was released after posting $1,500 bond. The fact that he could come up with the money for bond makes you wonder why he didn't just buy the horse and take it home for sex like a slightly more normal weirdo. Maybe it's not about sex, but the thrill of the hunt and the excitement of having your picture plastered all over the internet.
I want to know if the video is online somewhere. Well, that's what I want to
wouldn't
see.
Wouldn't that be? Yeah.
My sticky pony.
That fucking movie. It was between that and then when I saw Semen Busy, I'm like, done. That's funny. But come
shit.
On, only in Florida, right?
I like that we get updates on these stories from time to time.
They normally do not show any kind of victim, but I thought it was important. I thought it was...
That is true. They do not usually publish
the
victim.
I feel like I learned something.
I do too.
Sexual abuse among stuffies is a problem.
Well, yes.
Oh.
Yes. So...
Do you just, like, search for dick jokes? Is this what happens? Like, do you sit at home and go...
No.
Inappropriate penis, Google
no,
search.
No, I swear to God, I don't. I'll find things about other body areas as well. I mean, it depends.
But she does tend to always come up with the stories like the guy who was having sex with the cars.
Every week for 3 fucking years, Marnie's got somebody fucking something inappropriate.
Yeah.
By the way, which is very funny to me.
Which
I find it.
Even,
I don't know.
What's even more funny about that from her is the fact that you bring up actual sex to her and she
true.
Crawls under a rock.
Yeah,
we can't talk about it.
Yeah.
She's never had sex with any. Does Jesus count as a person? I mean, like, she's never had sex. She never did anything inappropriate.
It's true.
Yeah, she freaks out about
I've
that.
I've heard that
crosstalk must have been killing her.
But just
oh, she's carrying her own.
There's a pun.
Carrying her own.
All right.
Leave Jesus out of it.
I get a news story at the end of this.
Oh, by all means.
I got one.
Where would you like to search your story?
Put mine in the end.
Let's roll through.
I can play her pun game.
Yeah, you can. I like it.
Well, this gentleman might have gotten away with his little prank, but unfortunately his supermarket loyalty card ratted him out. A British fraudster who pretended to be a quadriplegic and sometimes comatose for 2 years to avoid prosecution has been convicted after police caught him on camera driving and walking around inside a supermarket.
If you need help moving, I am paraplegic.
Right. I can prove it.
Guy's name is Alan Knight of Swansea, Wales. He stole more than 40,000 pounds, which equates to about 64,000 American dollars, from a bank account of an elderly neighbor who had Alzheimer's disease. Well, when police began investigating the 47-year-old, Knight claimed to be quadriplegic and so sick that he sometimes fell into comas. He had checked himself into a hospital to avoid court appearances, saying that he was having seizures. The South Wales Evening Post reported Wednesday that the suspect's wife, Helen Knight, had written to the newspaper saying her husband had obtained a doctor's letter certifying that he was quadriplegic and in a comatose condition, bedbound and at home after a neck injury.
Okay, you don't need to say bedbound after you said sometimes in a coma and paraplegic.
I'm just reading the quote.
I know.
And apparently, from the story that I saw in this, he became injured after he fell trying to pull down the garage door. Uh-huh. We've been through absolute hell. She's British. So we've been through absolute hell, and we're still going through.
Oh, God, that's awful, and it's horrible. Love it.
You want so bad.
You want so bad. Oh, my God.
Hi, Cleveland.
I love your haircut. You want so bad.
We've just lost Her Majesty's country as listeners.
So she's been,
jalapeno, bitch. No, that's what I have to say to the queen.
She said that we've been through absolute hell and we're still going through it. Keep on going, honey.
Yeah.
Knight's deceit was uncovered when police tracked the use of his supermarket card and produced surveillance camera footage of him walking and driving and seemingly in perfectly good health. Warned that the trial would go ahead whether he was present or not, Knight arrived at the Swansea Court on Tuesday in a wheelchair and a neck brace.
I saw this on the Brady Bunch. This is an actual episode of the Brady Bunch where they get in a car accident with the guy pretending to have an injury. Remember?
Yeah.
No. So he then was faced with the video of evidence showing him walking around and being perfectly healthy. He then pleaded guilty to 19 counts of forgery, fraud, and theft. His wife, however, has not been charged with any offense at all. Judge Paul Thomas.
See that when he's playing fuck it. Never mind.
Judge Paul Thomas said Knight was a very accomplished and determined actor, and the conditions he claims to be suffering from are simply non-existent. His illnesses coincide with impending court appearances. I do not believe the symptoms are genuine, the judge said, and was quoted as saying this, according to the South Wales Evening Post. Knight is due to be sentenced on November 7th.
I have two questions.
He'll probably fall into a coma.
Is this going to be a pattern? Two questions every fucking story
yes,
I read.
Yes, making it a thing. Shut up. Working on it.
Hashtag two questions.
Hashtag jalapeno.
Go.
Number one, does he have a sister?
Oh.
Because you're looking for someone who doesn't move in bed?
What? No.
Or have you heard this
number
story before?
Number two, I believe I dated her. We spent much time in St. Joe's for some fake seizures.
Oh.
That happened to me. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Long ago.
Wait, fake seizures that happened to you?
No, I wasn't having the seizures. I was dating the girl with the fake seizures.
Oh, fake seizures.
So, seizures.
Fake seizures. Seizures.
Is that a salad?
Exactly.
I want a Caesar
salad. That's when the croutons are on the side.
Fake seizures.
I've had a lot on the side.
Still fake.
I don't know it, but according to Al, this was a Brady Bunch episode.
It was.
Two questions over.
Was that British or mentally disturbed? Same song.
Yeah,
I just want to continue.
Let's
on
start a band.
The penile rant that apparently I'm on.
Thank God.
You're going to have two questions about this, too?
Maybe.
Maybe.
This guy claims to have had sex with over 700 cars. Now,
what is it? How do I get it out of me?
With the mechanophile, story from moons ago.
No one has forgotten.
Fucking a Vega.
How could you not? Yeah. This guy, mechanophile. Anyway, whatever shame you may be feeling about your freaky sex fetish, aside from the guy in the yoga toilet, that's different.
That's different. That's a new kind of jalapeno.
Well,
oh, can you imagine jalapenos?
Oh, no.
Either way, whatever your fetish, you're still a freak, but at least you have Edward Smith to lean on. He's the guy who went on TV recently to claim that he's not only into having sex with automobiles, but that he's been with over 700 of them. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
The car ammonia must be crazy.
700 what?
He,
cars.
700 cars.
Again.
You got a banana in your tailpipe.
Jalapeno.
See, now, when he was younger...
that's the way to stop a date. I got a jalapeno in my tailpipe. They go home almost immediately.
Sounds painful.
This Edwards gentleman said that he lost his virginity to a Volkswagen.
Really? Fucking German.
Volkswagen Beetle when he was a teenager. He's currently in love with his longtime girlfriend, who is, of course, a white bug named Vanilla. So typically, even a dude who has sex with cars is into German blondes. I don't know.
Oh, that is
this
nasty.
This is
why is there a photo of this story?
It's the guy. That's the kind of person you see walking around.
Seattle. He's in Seattle. Beatles. Wait, it's Toronto or Seattle?
I think that's in Seattle.
I get the CNE Tower and the Space Needle confused.
I think that's in Seattle.
Fucking weird.
I'm telling you.
Fucking weird.
Fucking weird.
I don't want to touch this jalapeno.
I'm just saying, the paper's fine.
Got it.
Two questions.
Yes. Please. Let me get that.
Is he an equal opportunity car dater, or is he like really racist about it?
No, super racist.
Yeah. Only German
car. White Beetles.
Question number two.
Oh, White Beetles.
How does he feel about Dodge Neons?
Then no, he doesn't like them. Right. Maybe if they're white.
Why would you select a Dodge Neon out of a lineup?
Because it's not a sexy car at all.
Oh. No.
Oh, okay. So
it's the opposite
will
of sexy
he go
car.
For
it's the jalapeno of sexy cars.
I was going for irony.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well,
I feel like I'm swinging like, a minute. Should I ask for donors for $10 to get a malaria tent? There are so many mosquitoes in here.
What? In here?
Yes.
I'm starting a GoFundMe.
There's
right
like a couple behind his head.
I'm just afraid
that me and mosquitoes are going to change our relationship any minute now, and I'm going to get bit.
Well, don't start fucking mosquitoes.
before what? Oh, those are Cheetos, aren't they?
Oh, I was pointing at the mosquito, but yes, I also...
We'll have to crack that open.
I was listening back, and we talked about Cheetos a whole lot.
Oh, I enjoy that.
Still my favorite joke. Doctor, my dick is orange. What have you been doing now that I'm just unemployed eating Doritos?
You might want to get a job, sir. Or wash your hands.
That is one of my favorite jokes of all time.
God.
I'm just unemployed eating Cheetos, and my dick is orange. It's weird.
You're unemployed, and you got a bag of Cheetos. Let's calm down over there. I got two questions.
That's right.
I got two questions. Do you have a second bag?
No, we have to share.
Yeah, sorry. Before we get to Al's last story, I'm going to read this story, and then we'll go turn over to Al. Well, Dolly Parton, for those who don't know, Dolly Parton is a fantastic American country singer, pop artist.
Amusement park entrepreneur.
Dolly Parton never seems to let the gays down. In a recent interview with Billboard magazine, Parton opened up about her love for her gay fans, as well as her feelings towards Christians that feel they need to judge the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. When questioned about why she thinks that she reached icon status within the gay world, Parton told Billboard, quote, "They know that I completely love and accept them as I do all people. I've struggled enough in my life to be appreciated and understood. I've had to go against all kinds of people through the years just to be myself. I think everybody should be allowed to be who they are and love who they love. I don't think we should be judgmental. The Lord, I know I've had enough problems on my own to not to pass judgment on somebody else. Pardon elaborated on this further when Billboard questioned the singer about a Dollywood and its appeal to the LGBT community, which some actually questioned after a controversial incident in 2011, which I will talk about in just a second.
But would they apologize?
She says it's a place for entertainment for all families, period. It's for all of that. But as far as the Christians, if people want to pass judgment, they're already sinning. The sin of judging is just as bad as any other sin they might say someday, they might say somebody else is committing. I try to love everybody. Parton has been a longtime ally to gays, having spoken out a number of times in favor of the right to marry for same-sex couples. The singer has previously discussed a dance album specifically for her gay fans and joked about the fact that she should have a drag queen name. Now, to the point of the 2011 incident, for those of you who don't know, there was a lesbian married couple that were going into the Dollywood Amusement Park, and apparently one of them had a shirt on that said, marriage is so gay. And she was asked by staff there to turn the shirt inside out, and it had to do with their dress code. And at first, it was perceived to be it was an anti-gay thing. And you're right, what you said. Once Parton found out about it, she felt really bad about the whole thing. They have a very strict policy at Dollywood for anybody to wear any shirt or any kind any saying or slogan or anything, so as to not ever cause any turmoil within the park.
Right.
They don't want somebody to be hating on somebody wearing something that, you know, whatever. They just, everything, just everybody get along. Is what
It turns out they had a very all-inclusive, it was very nice.
Yeah.
Their apology was very heartfelt and very, like, just no political t-shirts on either side.
That's just leave it alone, just come enjoy the rides.
Just wear a Mickey Mouse and enjoy the ride, like, fuck the competition.
Yeah, so anyway, if you care to look for it, I'll put a link in the chat room right now. I won't read her entire apology, but she actually, after she got back off tour and found out about this incident, she wrote a very, and you read through it, it's a very heartfelt apology where she was kind of mortified about this whole thing. And she says, I like how the whole thing ended when she says, I am and was on tour and when this was brought to my attention, and I am looking further into the incident and hope and believe it was more policy than insensitivity. I'm very sorry it happened at all. And that's from Dolly Parton. But I'll post this in the chat room in case you care to look it up or read it yourself.
And Hi, Rev. I just put something on Facebook. I'm like, oh, we're missing you. Hi, Rev.
And like, Steven's back and shocked by our topic.
I know. That was he came on when we were talking about Demon Biscuit, for God's sake.
But I do have to say, I put a link in mine too. There's no way to put a link now to a video because the iPad redirects you automatically to YouTube, and you don't get an address. You don't get a web address.
Oh, but I could from here if you.
So I just put it in for Traveling Through, which was her Oscar-nominated song from Trans America with Felicity Huffman, which is a fantastic movie about a transgendered woman and her and a friend and a companion making it across country to make it to her her surgery. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And twice now she's been robbed of an Oscar that she should have won. And that was such a beautiful song for that movie.
Michael's in the kitchen.
So anyways, I put the link, but hopefully you can put the actual link so you can listen to it, because mine was just to a link to iTunes, but you can put a link to the video.
I will look it up right now.
It is one of the most, if for some reason you have not heard this song, it's one of the it's on my constant play, it's on every playlist I have on my iPod. I absolutely love this song. And nice. It's a religious, I mean, you know, she loves her Jesus, but she loves her tranny, so it's a nice... It's a good mix. Uh-huh. Do a 30-second break, because I might pee my pants while I laugh at this next story. So, make something up. Give me a second.
Jalapeno.
We're going to go to a 30-second dance break so that Al can go and do something in, hopefully, about 30 seconds. Where the hell's my... let's do this
no
one.
No trouble.
If you think it sucks so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Killing time while Al pees. killing time on the show on a Tuesday night while Al pees. And she's back.
Oh, my God.
What is the love?
All better now?
Yes. Okay, now this is from a website that I am not familiar with, but I absolutely love this. It's not really news, but we're going to fit it in here. It is the 8 signs that he's cheating.
Mm.
Oh. Got a hunch your guy might be sleeping around behind your back? Learn how to recognize these telltale signs of infidelity. Number 1, a hound barks thrice at dawn. Maybe you haven't caught him in the act of cheating, but if you hear a hound barking thrice at dawn, you might consider checking his text messages, because chances are he's up to no good. Number 2, 5 knots in the old oak tree, within each one a clover bee. He says that a girl at work is just a friend, but the knots in the old oak tree tell a different story. Number 3.
What do you say she's just
no,
a friend?
I don't know this. I don't know this website. A prick of the needle bears no blood. He's been strange recently. Maybe he seems exhausted all the time. Maybe he hasn't been answering his phone. Maybe you pricked him with a needle and he didn't bleed. If the last thing is true, he found someone else. In the moss on the stone is the mark of the mare. So you found the mark of the mare in the moss on the stone, and you're wondering what it means. Here's a hint. It's time to dump his cheating ass.
I'm so confused right now.
Go to clickhole.com, because it all comes with pictures of what the moss and the stone is the mark of the mare.
Oh.
A loss of a tooth on the Kalends of June. Let's think about this. He went on a business trip, and when he came back on the Kalends of June, he was missing a tooth. Time to put two and two together. Your man's a cheater.
I'm so confused.
I hope you're going to have two questions in a minute.
I am going to
at least.
Five stone. You got to go to clickhole.com. I have been laughing about the hound howls thrice at dawn.
Yeah.
5 stones stacked high in the heart of the dell. Stop pretending the stones you found stacked in the dell were pebbles, and admit to yourself that a certain someone has been less than faithful. A youth's head casts no shadow. Hate to break it to you, but a young person's head should definitely cast a shadow. If it doesn't, your guy is probably getting a little on the side. And the last one, number 8, he doesn't burn. A good man burns. If his flesh is resistant to the flame, you deserve better.
I got nothing on this. I feel like I'm sitting in a class that I'm supposed to be understanding what's happening.
It's just 8 signs that he's cheating. You know how there's those fucking
questions.
8 signs that he's cheating, and they're always like his hair is different or he's playing nice. They just went with signs like folklore and witchcraft. Set him on fire. If he doesn't burn, he was cheating on you.
It's true. And that's legit. Like if she doesn't burn, she's a witch. For
yeah, right. See? See? Yeah.
I know.
Oh, I'm
two
so
questions.
Yep.
Confused.
Number 1, had you posted that on your Facebook recently?
Yes.
Because I've read that. Number 2.
Because I almost shit my pants at the Howl House thrice at the dawn.
Number 2, have you ever experienced any of these things to happen in your life?
I did find 5 stones in Adele.
Take this. And sad, I was looking up your accident thing, and I just want you to scroll through that just real quick, because that's one of the most disturbing things I've ever fucking seen.
Wow, this gets ugly fast.
No, real fast. Go ahead and scroll down. Right down.
It's not a tablet.
I mean, for real.
Riveting
what
radio.
The hell? I looked up the Brady Bunch.
Accident.
Fake accident.
And one of them was a butt-fucking by Greg into Mrs. Brady, which I don't think that's an accident. Sometimes
I mean,
it's a real-life depiction
real.
Of a date.
What in God's name? I was like,
wow.
What? There's a lot of nudity.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-mm.
I mean, all I did was click on images. My bad.
You want to see this?
No, I'm good. I already got the DVD.
I mean,
I got it on Blu-ray, bitch.
Websites for that.
Jalapeno.
1080 DPI.
All right.
DPI stands for definite penetration incoming.
Oh.
Atta girl.
Oh.
That is things I did not want my help.
And that is all. That's what we have all wrapped up in for headlines. But we're going to go immediately into Al Perkins. And what is it? It's
entertainment. I don't know. I'm a little behind. I have a Sean Hayes is engaged. I have a movie review. I have a TV show update. And not really a lot else.
Nice.
Oh, and we have a dead person alert. Well, it's not really an alert. She's dead. So you can feel free to stand down and enjoy your jalapenos. She went.
That bell's
still going to be dead. That bell's been wrong.
Yes. And that's the beginning of entertainment. Oh, okay.
Well, we'll start with TV because we are now 8 weeks into the new into the fall season, and there's only been one cancellation, and it was that Manhattan Love Story, which just sucked. And the show on with it, I think, was called Selfie. So they're going to double up on that, and we're waiting for the cancellation on that. But it's just funny that we're still only at one show canceled. Like, usually they are just, there's a bloody stump where there used to be jalapenos in shows. So it's really quite alarming. And so everyone's wondering, do they not have anything in the hopper? And Fox usually waits for the World Series because they don't want to start something new when they have this week of programming where they kill anything off because everything goes on a hiatus. Mm-hmm. So it's just been a weird time for canceling shows. So usually this is my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing to do is to Google, you know, who's looking for work now, mm-hmm. as I like to call it. But the thing is, some shows have been given whole seasons and some surprising choices. Everyone will remember that you may not remember if you don't read everything that I do, that everyone has picked The Mysteries of Laura with Deborah Messing, which is, it's a terrible show. Let's just face that.
It didn't look good from the beginning.
It's poorly written. I thought it looked, it's her. Like, she's just so engaging. She's like that Allison Janney kind of person where, like, she just makes you believe in, like, microwave right. popcorn as a food group. Like, she's just lovely. But the show is just dumb. Ugh. But it gets ratings, and NBC has been lacking one thing over the last 6 years, and that's people watching them.
Mm. Right.
So everyone has picked The Mysteries of Laura as the first show that's going to be canceled. The thing that everyone's forgetting is it's winning its time slot by, like, leaps and bounds. Oh. And it's actually winning on Wednesday night.
I didn't watch it because you said it was one of the more horrible things you've ever seen.
Oh, it really is. It's written at, a fourth-grade level, no. And, like, seriously, the target
I just
cancel.
Love her.
But it's delight. If yeah. you like her and there's nothing else on TV and you're yeah. not taping anything else on TV,
okay.
she's very engaging.
Yeah, she's
and I'm
fantastic.
Assuming that
and he's cute. Like he,
Josh Lucas, yeah. yes, very yeah. cute. I'm assuming at some point they're going to smarten it up a little bit because the one problem with
can't
the show
get any
is
dumber.
It is the second oldest skewing show on TV after the Tom Selleck oh. show, and she's not old enough to be getting Tom Selleck numbers. So, like, this show is so far out of the 18 to 49 block that, I mean, it's just, it's shocking. And that's why everyone thought it would be canceled. But unfortunately, it's winning its night, and they have actual humans watching NBC, which is something that scientists never thought would happen again. So NBC was like, that's their first show that they put their faith behind. NBC mm-hmm. has not picked up a whole season of any show. They did this one solo. They went out on a limb and did a separate press conference to show, okay, only old people are watching it, but there's a lot of you, so we're listening. So that was kind of a nice bump for Deborah Messing, as every TV critic and magazine has picked that as the first show that was going to be canceled. So not only was it not canceled, but it got picked up.
You know what show I keep mixing that up with, and I keep watching it, is Bad Judge.
Oh, right, that just looks awful.
Which it is terrible, but I can't stop watching
really?
Her.
Yeah. It just looks
and she's
awful.
Another one, Kate Walsh, right?
Yes,
is that her name?
Yeah, Kate Walsh.
She's another one, very engaging. Like,
yeah.
If
yeah.
they match the writing to how good she is, they
I
have
I cannot that stop watching Mrs. McDreamy. Like, that's just who she is to
me. Exactly. The CW
I never
picked up The Flash
that.
Immediately, because I'm not watching The Flash.
Mm-mm.
Anybody that's into superhero shows, allegedly this Flash thing is the shit.
Yeah?
I just don't know where the CW is on my dial. So I've never really...
It used to be Channel 6.
It might still be. So this
it's the one
thing,
that plays Gilmore Girls on
yeah,
repeat.
On repeat,
all the
24
time.
Hours a day.
Ones that, Stephen, tell me what you think, your thoughts on American Horror Show, the American Horror Story when you're watching it. Because I have not... I've watched like 2 episodes of it. And I feel like you have to watch it from the very, very beginning. And
what do you mean? It's only been on for 3
season?
Episodes.
The, not the season, but...
No, no, they have nothing to do with each other.
Oh, they don't?
No, it's an anthology.
Okay.
Each season stands
okay.
on its own.
Brand new.
Everything is brand new.
Oh, cool. Okay. Because yeah. that's... So I can go back and...
So after we explain those. Jalapenos, we'll work on anthologies.
Aww.
Right. Isn't that nice?
Okay.
Talking to you.
Jalapenos.
I like talking down to people. So...
Pumpkin spice.
See?
Don't think I'm gonna push that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm envisioning?
My teeth being missing.
Did you see the slap bet from How I Met Your Mother?
Yes. One of the best ongoing jokes
yes.
of all time.
Yeah. I'm just envisioning that.
And you never knew when the slap was gonna come, but
okay.
all of a sudden, what? It was
yeah.
Josh. No,
it
was
the tall dwarfy guy
and Neil Patrick yeah. Harris, and they just had the slap bet, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it would just come up.
Somebody slap.
It was like this from Friends,
okay.
where you never
right.
knew
yeah.
you never knew when the joke would play out, but
got
it was
it.
Always there.
Yeah. Got it.
Fox has picked up Gotham for a full season, which is really good. And I have to, and this is my little plug for the week.
I'm with you.
Gotham is on Mondays, and it's a nice companion piece to Sleepy Hollow. If you watch the first 2 weeks of Sleepy Hollow this season and you were like, this is too serious, this is missing all, it comes back. I did last night. It turns out I don't own the movie Halloween, which is what I wanted to watch while I was home alone with all the doors
that.
And windows open.
I can give
open.
It to you. Oh, it's on VHS though.
I'm gonna pay my $1.99 and rent it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pay my $1.99 and rent it tonight when I get home. But Sleepy Hollow always had that like fun vibe of the X-Files with like Mulder being goofy. Yeah. Oh, I did.
Yeah, I know, but you did. That was why I tried it, and I was like, man, that's just not my
thing. And Sleepy Hollow has the same problem as X-Files. They have a mythology going that's a long follow, and it's a long, drawn-out story. But if you get individual episodes where they're just after something creepy, then they can work in the humor of him learning to drive or why he's always in the same outfit or the thing with his hair or the way he talks.
Okay.
And there was a really funny moment. And the comedy has to be so low-key because you're really doing a supernatural show that they can't do a smash and change. You can't change tones that many times in the same sentence. So you have to get that humor in very, the way the X-Files did. You have to get it under the radar.
Which I did like that a lot.
The humor has to be really underplayed. And so they're sitting in a car and they're looking in a coffee shop. They're following somebody. And there's a cute guy in a baseball cap and a cute guy in a suit sitting in front of a coffee shop. And they're holding hands in the window. And Ichabod looks and goes, is that acceptable behavior now? And she's like, oh, well, you know, gay marriage is, you know, the gays have come a long way. There's gay marriage. People are very accepting. He's like, no, I meant wearing hats in public. Or hats indoors. He's like, I am fully aware. And he lists the general that he served under in the Revolutionary War who was gay. And he's like, and I saw the season finale of Glee.
Because it's okay.
The little thing they don't tell you is when they're not working together, he has to sit in her house and do absolutely nothing. So he's soaking up like current American culture.
Watching all of it now, right.
Oh, so you get everything about like taxes, and you get all these little jokes and like how he learns to drive.
Okay.
And the fact that like every time he talks and they meet someone new and they're like, your friend, you get used to it. And she just blows it off. They've made him a Revolutionary War reenactor. Okay. And that's why he's dressed like that and talks like that. And everyone's like, you're so in character. But the humor has just come back. So if you've left Sleepy Hollow and like the ratings are dying, but honestly, God, get back on board because it's so charming. And if he got any sexier, I would have to masturbate to a network TV show. And I have not sung to that level of jalapeno yet.
I think he's lying. And I'm with Molly. No weenus for Ben Affleck.
No, there was no weenus.
No.
How to Get Away with Murder was picked up for the full season, and it is still the gayest show on TV ever. Like, Will and Grace may have pretended, but uh-uh.
Yeah. I was planning on watching last Thursday's on Sunday. Didn't see it yet.
No homo.
You were like, man.
No gay sex in this last week's episode, but very good. It's a good show.
But watch it anyway.
Yeah.
But now, movie stars sign up for this 13-week deal where they only do cable-length shows, 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. How to Get Away with Murder is like the number 4 tweeted show. It's getting good ratings. It's killing it on Thursday nights, and we all know Thursday nights are a big night for television because you get movie money.
Yep.
So you know that something is getting the right audience if you see a movie commercial in your TV show. If a TV show cuts to a movie commercial, that means this show is a hit.
Oh, okay.
They don't waste movie money on shit shows. So How to Get Away with Murder is in the titty number. That's the high. 10 o'clock on a Thursday night is all moviegoers.
Okay.
They want you in their seats on Friday morning first showing, or you should be there at the midnight show. So ABC's killing it with this How to Get Away with Murder, and they are
and
seriously
Scandal, I would think.
Oh, that whole night it's all Shonda Rhimes, and then How to Get Away with Murder is her gay
friend,
flying monkey, or whatever the fuck it was. But he's running that. So Black-ish also got a full season pickup. But anyway, so the whole point with How to Get Away with Murder is she had a locked in 13 episode deal, and they took it to 15. So they're pushing the limit. So she probably won't be in 2 episodes because they are milking this cow till it comes home. CBS picked up Scorpion, which did not get any better.
By the way, I have all 5 or 6 of those DVR'd at home.
What if you at? Like, if you like brainless action,
yeah,
and it's very CBS
filler kind
it's,
of.
It's very CBS. Okay. It's very procedural.
Okay.
They spend $20 an episode. Like they spend $1 billion on the pilot, okay, and now they're down to like $20 left, okay, of their budget. So you get one explosion, okay, one car chase. But Catherine McPhee has a job, so I'm happy.
Madam, I enjoy her. So,
Madam, yeah, Secretary, killing it in the ratings, got picked up. NCIS New Orleans got picked up. Stalker, which is the show that I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
Completely inappropriate, like no redeeming qualities, yeah, but I can't stop watching, okay, it. It's a train crash every week, and they picked it up. Under the Dome, which could not have gotten any shittier or stupider or more stupid or more filled with jalapeno ass juice. That was just the worst fucking piece of crap.
Oh my God, I don't even know what to do with that.
I have ever sucked my way through.
No one ever does.
Ever.
No one ever knows.
Don't you have two questions
about
that?
I'm going to drink the jalapeno ass juice.
No, I'm not.
I will. Well, I got to get the taste of jalapeno ass juice. I don't know.
I'm going to just move on to something better.
That's fine.
It's tasty too.
But Under the Dome and Extant were both renewed. Okay.
Why not? I'll
so that's our update on TV. Please watch Sleepy Hollow. Watch Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
That's
a funny cat. Yeah. I did. It was Sleepy Hollow.
Chinese people watch Sleepy Hollow.
Oh. Jesus.
There went Asia.
Yeah. Oh, no. We lost
Asia. We lost them a long
time ago.
I thought they were back.
No.
Well, maybe, but.
Nope, he just erased them.
Survey says.
So there are 11 live listeners right now listening on the audio only stream. I don't know how many people are watching.
That's people that don't have TVs.
I want to know I want to know if the one that's listening in Brazil is Luis, who listened previous.
Oh, we previous. Hope so,
because we.
Oh,
I still need to stalk him.
We're hoping a lot of things.
Join us in the chat room, Luis. Let us know.
Let me think. So that's TV. Okay, American Horror Story. They got to jettison everybody that's not part of the clown story. Has got to go. The carnival. Who gives a shit? The two-headed lady. Who gives a rat's ass? I don't know what the fuck region Kathy Bates is pretending she's from. She got to go because that clown story is terrifying, original, and right on point.
Okay.
So unless they tie those two stories up really quick, they need that fucking clown, the creepy kid that loves the clown, the hostages. That is scary horror TV. And now I've got old women actresses that I love and want to see work all the time,
right,
doing some kind of scene study in the corner. Like, it's fucked up. But that clown shit is, it's terrifying.
Okay.
And I am not normally afraid of clowns, but I want to move because sometimes that clown is in my house. And then,
fair enough.
The Walking Fucking Dead. I don't know how you guys are not watching the show again.
Sorry. I have to wait.
Amazeballs. Oh, so you're caught up to this season.
No, Sharon watched it all. I haven't had a chance to binge watch because I've been busy.
She's been really busy.
Now, remember I told you that the season...
She can't keep a hold of all that.
I believe we're on season five. I believe we're on season five. And the producer said, this is not for children. Mm. This is not... This is we're not kidding. Like, this is NC-17. We are not fucking around. We don't know how we're getting away with this on basic cable. It is so disturbing... But so fucking good. Like, I have, like, broke out in applause, like, three different times this week watching the show. And I had to go back and start over again because I wanted to see. There's no one alive. If you watch the pilot, no one's alive from that episode.
Oh, good.
There's, like, two, three people. Actually,
I didn't like most of them anyway.
No, and one does. And Rick is not a pussy anymore, which if Katie was sitting there, she would understand. Sure. I hate Rick. And
I understand.
I have wanted Rick to die for seasons and seasons. And
like, season two, I think. Like,
oh, yeah. Just wanted him to
season
die.
Season one, hero. Season two, go fuck yourself, Rick. Like, just get eaten by
put yourself in a hole and kill yourself. Eat the jalapeno.
Yes.
But, so goddamn good. I just don't understand what you're doing with your life if you're not watching The Walking Dead. It is.
I'm watching every other goddamn thing you told us to watch. That we'd be going to hell if we didn't get. And I charged my mother more money so I can watch HBO. There's too much happening.
I know. There is. There is.
But I'm very busy.
You should have just found somebody to steal HBO from.
If you have HBO, you're okay without the
Walking
Dead. But I honestly think The Walking Dead is so disturbing. Like, a friend of mine was like, you always tell people to watch. I'm like, you can't handle this show. Yeah. Like, honest to God. This show would, like...
But The Walking Dead is, like, just zombies stuff, right?
No. But it's a very well-written character study.
Mm-hmm,
like,
okay.
Because it started off with Frank Darabont, who gave us The Green Mile. He gave us Shawshank Redemption,
like
The Mist.
Yep.
He's a very... So he took a zombie story, and he gave it, like, all this humanity.
But that's what I see when I...
Right, because there are zombies in it, but you also get, like, how do people react in the post-apocalyptic world? Like, are you a good guy? Do you stay a bad guy? Like, are you one of the people that just captures people and rapes them or eats them or or are you people that tries to stay like a halfway decent person? And you they have these interactions as people like come and go and deal with the humanity. It has more to do with like the world has ended. Who are we? And why are we driving
we
this Kia?
When
right.
Kind of the,
because it's sponsored by Hyundai or Kia. So there's been Absolutely. A green Kia, and like the co-star of the whole fucking show.
Sure.
Fair oh, enough. Just
seemed
amazing.
Like a nice car.
Oh, Steven, come back. Okay, Kathy Bates is doing a ghetto Baltimore accent. And I thought that Molly, too, because Buddy Early said it was the same accent as John Travolta in Hairspray. Like, we had a whole conversation about that. All right, so that's it. That really is it for TV. Let me. Where the fuck is?
Oh yeah, and Stephen, absolutely. How to Get Away with Murder? Stamp of approval.
Oh, definitely stamp of approval.
Yeah.
The worst part is,
God, he makes me watch too many shows.
Friday nights I work, and everybody's like, why are you so tired on Friday nights? Because I can't go to sleep without watching Project Runway. Who wears this T-shirt and these shorts everywhere I go, has no interest in fashion. Watches Project Runway like a junkie. And if I have a patient in a coma, they are all of us. Oh, is that your favorite show? Me too. Let's watch it.
Make it work.
Oh, my God.
I love it. Yeah.
That's the weirdest
squeeze,
thing.
Squeeze twice if you love it.
Let me just, yeah, exactly. Squeeze. No, squeeze twice if you don't want to watch it because they're in a coma.
Oh. No squeeze. No squeeze.
Yeah.
So Sean Hayes got engaged. I guess it's a trend.
Well, you can now. So
I know.
A
we
lot
have,
of people
have
are
got
very
to find
about
it. But he's a listener, though. That's rude that we know something that we don't know what we know. So, from the movie point of view, your movie assignments. Right?
What?
Yeah, it's true.
I was making a chart of what you said. Yeah. It made total sense.
It took me a minute. And now I've got
I'm not crazy, Melinda. No. I've been married for 40 years. All right. So your movie assignments for this week, before more shit comes out, Birdman.
Yeah,
or
you said that. Yep.
The
I had to look it up. Before.
Oh, the virtues of ignorance. The unintended virtue of ignorance. Yep. Anyways, Birdman. Okay. It's Iñárritu, if I'm saying his name correctly. Jalapeno. This guy is so good. He did. I had it all queued up so I wouldn't forget, and now I forgot. He did Babel, Oscar-nominated yep. Babel. Tells really complicated stories. This is just genius filmmaking. And I'm going to, out of 5 stars, I would give it a good solid 4.25.
Okay.
Because you're expecting this kind of weird story about Michael Keaton plays a man who used to play a superhero character in
I
a
heard
cape.
About this one.
And Michael Keaton used to play Batman.
Batman, right?
And now years later, after he turned down the third sequel to Birdman, he's coming to Broadway to put on a show that he has written the adaptation for and directed. He's appearing. It's all filmed in the St. James Theater, and it's all done in one long, continuous shot. It's by the guy that did Children of Men, and if you haven't seen Children of Men yet, I cannot recommend that movie enough because it's so beautiful, and it's the guy that he usually works with, Alfonso Cuarón, that did Gravity, but this time he's working with the other Mexican director, Iñárritu, or one of three, Guillermo del Toro is the third one that I love. This movie is funny, and because of all the technical aspects of doing everything in one long shot as you're going up and down stairs and out of dressing rooms, and all of a sudden transitioning with like a light change to like now you're on stage rehearsing, or now you're on stage during the performance, or now you're backstage, or now you're on the roof of the theater. And it doesn't move very much from the St. James. They go outside onto Times Square one time in a really funny moment, but you're just not expecting something that's that technical. It would be like if they made Gravity a comedy.
Oh,
like if
okay,
all of a
yeah.
sudden you got something that was so technically proficient in such a like gee whiz movie of like, what the fuck am I watching and how does this? And you keep waiting for the distraction to take place of it all being in one take, but you're so engaged and you're just so ready to look around a corner or like go on this journey with them. And then they're being really funny. Edward Norton, hysterical.
Yeah. The cast, Emma Stone,
funny. Naomi Watts, Oscar nomination. Okay. It's Michael Keaton's Oscar to lose. At this point, as of today, this viewing, it is Michael Keaton's
Can you
Oscar.
Write that down.
Yep. We
keep track of Al's statements for Oscars. At least I do.
There's a couple.
So then why aren't you writing it down?
Because you have a pen.
All right,
there's a couple movies in the hopper that I haven't seen yet that might disprove the theory. The one about who's the girl in the wheelchair. Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking. That movie looks phenomenal.
I've never gotten there from
Eddie Redmayne.
Or Clayton McKee.
Yeah.
It's like you're all Stephen Hawking.
But Eddie Redmayne, who has like won all kinds of awards already, he's in this movie about Stephen Hawking.
Brown.
Yeah, he looks... exactly. He looks good. Cumberbatch, Unclebatch, whatever his name is.
Cumberbatch.
Yeah, he's in the movie about the British spy that I talked about earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Not the British spy, but the guy that figured out the codes for the Germans, but he was gay. And after he won World War II, he was persecuted and put in prison. He's another one. Looks really, really strong for an Oscar nomination. But this Michael Keaton, he just goes through the ringer. And because the camera never leaves, they can't cut away from him because it's all one long shot. You just see him in like... just the worst, most garish lighting and very unflattering. And you see him losing his mind, getting his composure, fighting in his underwear with
Edward Norton. Dr.
Strange?
No. He's going to be playing Dr. Strange. That's what Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, but I can't think of the name of the movie, but it's based on the code breakers of World War II in Britain.
Okay.
So anyways, but this Birdman, honest to God, and I think Naomi Campbell, is that her name?
Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts will get her third Oscar nomination out of this one.
Naomi Campbell's a black model.
No,
model.
Yeah, Naomi Campbell is. Naomi Watts is not.
Naomi Watts, three-time Oscar nominee, or she will be a three-time Oscar nominee this year. What's the Campbell from the Party of Five?
Soup.
That's Nev.
Nev Campbell and her brother's little cutie, too. And I think that's it for entertainment. But
somebody died.
Oh, it's and then in a sad note, in a career that really was bigger than anyone knew about. Those of us of a certain age remember Marcia Strassman. She was Gabe Kaplan's wife, Julie, on Welcome Back, Kotter. She died after a seven-year battle with breast cancer. And from what I heard... she was given a very short time to live. It was very advanced. She was doing the Valerie Harper School of Cancer, where they tell you have 2 days to live, and you just go on Dancing with the Stars and live your life.
Correct.
She was also in the first season of MASH.
I thought that was weird. Yeah. I thought that was really
interesting. And MASH lovers will remember her. She was very memorable, and she was very cute. Like, the one thing about MASH was there wasn't a lot of pretty. Like, they kind of made hot lips. The only attractive person, and then she kind of had like weird haircuts and facial surgery that kind of took her out of the 50s.
Right, but in the later years, it's like she's far too glamorous to be on a MASH unit in the 50s.
Yeah, in the 50s, with an 80s haircut. But she was also in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. And the weird thing that I always found was she played against Rick Moranis, and then they found someone for Parenthood to play against Rick Moranis that looked exactly like her. In the movie Parenthood, the woman that played her wife was freakishly similar to Marcia Strassman, and I thought it was her.
Oh.
And I remember, like, back before you had IMDb and Googling, like, trying to find out, like, who was that actress and why did they put him in another movie
with her,
this type? It's very strange. But so she died...
just a couple days ago.
October 26th, Sunday, maybe. But it was very sad, especially if you remember how much fun she was playing against... I can't remember his name.
Gabe Kaplan.
Gabe Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very, it was the girl. And I always hate shows that have, I hate movies, I hate anything that has the girl, where you have no point to the plot.
Yeah.
Like, you make no difference. They could, like, Penny on the first three seasons of Big Bang Theory. Uh-huh. You can pull her out at any point. She makes no difference. She's the girl. But Marcia Strassman did a lot with the girl part, and she was very, like, she made the kids feel welcome. You knew they were from bad homes, so when they went to her house, what was the dish? Was it tuna casserole? There was something that she made, but, like, there was a big deal made about, like...
I don't remember.
And Molly's going to help me with this one, but there was something about what she did and, like, the mothering effect she had on the kids because they were...
I don't remember that at
all. They were all, like, bad kids, and they had no real parenting.
Sure, yeah.
And so it was a neat little trick that they would pull to show that he brought them home to give them a mother. Like, it was a little trick that they pulled every season, and it was it was nice. Like she was a little bit more than the girl on that show.
Yeah, I made a reference to Welcome Back Kotter to Aaron, and that did not work very well. She had no idea what the fuck
she
I was
had
talking
nothing
about.
For you.
I said something about Vinnie Barbarino, and she had no idea.
And I still to this day know that John Sebastian sang the theme song. Like, why is that stuck in my head?
Well,
so that
come
back.
I know, I love that. It's
and we can play that. We can't owe anybody movies.
And no one. We wouldn't pay anyone. The Elizabeth Peña, we had talked about her a week ago.
And rhymes with Hella.
I hope she wasn't a listener because she died of alcohol abuse.
She did. And maybe she didn't take your
Brooklyn, fourth largest city.
It just makes me very happy.
Welcome back.
Like, I love this.
Themed from Welcome Back, Kotter, a 70s sitcom that this actress we were just talking about starred in.
No, fourth largest city in New York. No, and actually, she
Molly,
did not start there.
No, she's not that old.
I said she starred in.
Oh, she started. I'm sorry. Because she, the one thing that I didn't know about her, she was born in 48. She began acting as a teen, and she replaced Liza Minnelli in the off-Broadway musical
that
Best Foot Forward.
That surprised me, yeah.
And then had a steady stream of roles. So Broadway TV. She was one of those people that never hit, like, big actress, but stayed at that low level of, like, working through at least the 90s. So she worked in, you know, well into her 40s on a steady level and then fought cancer for 7 years, so we don't have a lot of time to answer for.
Yeah.
Face.
Yeah, the sweat hugs. Poor Molly. I'm not that old. Yeah, whatever. But, yeah, that was interesting because
I want to say it was tuna casserole that she made, that they always went there for Mrs. Cotter.
Mrs. Cotter.
Yeah.
Miss Cotter.
Mrs. Cotter.
So that's it for entertainment. I don't have a lot, but keep your movies. Whiplash is the next big movie to see. J.K. Simmons in The Story About the Drummer. It looks a little weird, but brilliant. And that's going to end up somewhere. I just don't know how they're going to do it. But it's the kid from The Fault in Your Stars. And every review has been off the fucking charts. Oh, and Rosewater, Jon Stewart's movie, is going to be released, I think, the first Friday in November.
Tuna casseroles. Well done, Don.
Tuna casserole.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart left The Daily Show for a while to write and direct Rosewater, and it's coming out. It's made it through the film festivals, and it is getting amazing reviews. I saw the preview today.
Premise?
It is about a journalist that travels to Iran for the erection of Ahmadinejad and gets arrested as a spy as he videotapes the protests, and it's my boyfriend.
This is based on true story?
Yeah, Gael Garcia Bernal, and it's a guy that Jon Stewart actually knows and has interviewed, and that's why he was, but it's Gael Garcia Bernal, who is my husband, and we bumped into each other once, so we're married by Mexican law.
Jalapeno!
But I was just, I don't know what nationality he's supposed to be playing, but he's playing my husband. But, so, I mean, but that's coming out soon, and it's gotten really, really good reviews, and it's made the whole, film festival circuit, so good for him. I mean, the problem is that they're getting, all the reviews are going to him, so we don't get to find out how good my husband is in the movie.
Yet.
Which, yeah.
You'll learn. Yeah. You'll see that soon.
Can't remember what the hell. Oh, I know what I'm doing. So move on for me. Go on. Somebody else talk.
Got a couple questions there, Kat, for this? Or no, we're going to move on.
Did you hear what he said? What? Somebody else talk. What the hell's wrong with us?
I know.
Temperature.
I know, and then I say it, and y'all go silent.
Why is
what to do? What he's
I always leave this kind of false alarm, is what I usually do. But are you ready to go?
Done. Sure.
Oh, she is.
Making shit up as we go along again this weekend. Or said other stuff. Breaking news: disappearing dad has been found. We'll have plenty of World Series update because that's happening. Speaking of World Series, the Giants honored Robin Williams.
Oh.
And more World Series about national anthem disasters and things that have happened present, past, and potentially future.
And there's
you're do a couple stories. We'll do the crossover. We'll come back. Keep running.
All right. So story number one, Thursday night at the Denver Broncos game.
Oh, no.
A gentleman by the name of Paul Kitterman seemed to be happy and behaving normally, his companion said, and told them that the experience of going to his first Broncos game was awesome. Soon afterwards, he vanished.
Dun, 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 dun.
Police were letting officials at Sports Authority Field dig through the game's surveillance footage, a process that began Monday because of their expertise with the camera setups. Looking all over the place, Kitterman was sitting with his stepson, after going to the game with him and another friend who were sitting in a different section, and he was last seen by his son when he left to go meet those friends around halftime. So this guy just, like, up and, you know, said, hey, you know, I'll be back. I'll go see our buddies in the other section, and never came home.
Yeah, still missing.
Actually, no, breaking
found.
News.
Breaking found. News.
Breaking
yeah.
news.
He's wow. stopped being a Broncos fan and switched to the other team.
We're really on top of shit tonight.
I'm shocked. Because when I left for here, he was
totally,
still missing.
Yeah, me too. He was totally still missing.
This is how cutting edge we are. God damn it.
Internet
access.
Yes, we have it. Where'd they find the fucker?
So his son says he would never bail on anybody. So by Friday night, they were really concerned and they knew something was wrong. I'm thinking, like, by the time the game's over,
you're a little, yeah.
Yeah, they said he had no credit cards, maybe $50 in cash, like, cell phone, not a nothing. This guy had nothing.
Okay.
And disappeared. And this article doesn't actually say where he was or what had happened.
He was at a bar. I mean,
it's happened to me
before.
Hey,
come on.
The police said tonight, this very night, that Paul Kitterman has been found and safe. Denver police made the announcement on their Twitter account.
He was with a chick.
Yeah. They tweeted out DPD confirming that Paul Kitterman has been located and is safe after going missing from the Broncos game. Later they added Paul Kitterman was located in Pueblo, Colorado. Again, he is unharmed and all questions should be directed to the family.
So he just fucking bolted.
Yeah.
He broncoed.
He broncoed out of there.
I had my first jalapeno and I'm leaving. I'm a
Bronco
free man.
I got a Bronco.
I've been kind of working on this all, you know, throughout the show because I brought up the article and it had updated and I was like, well, shit, they found the fucker. Good for him.
Nice.
Yeah, so he just...
How far away is Pueblo, Colorado from where the game was?
Like this far on the map.
That far on the map?
Show us on the dial how big the
like
map
this?
Was. Yeah.
I don't know.
Not like this? I don't...
Yeah, like a map on the computer or a map? This big.
Like that big.
Walking distance.
Oh, she's Ellen.
It's walking distance.
It's walking
distance. Yeah, I certainly don't have any details, but I'm certainly excited.
Well,
that
I wish that you would
been
look further
found.
Into this, because otherwise, what a stupid story.
Denver to ballpark figure, no pun intended. Denver to Pueblo is 112 miles.
Okay.
Look at that.
So walkable.
It's an two-hour drive.
I could have done it.
Look at that.
A three-hour tour.
And it's Harley Kozak was the actress that played...
What?
I'm just trying to answer a question from earlier.
Who?
Harley Kozak played Susan on Parenthood. That's the one that looks just like the dead lady.
Yes.
So in Parenthood, she plays against Rick Moranis, but she looks just like
the dead lady,
Marcia Strassman, and it's driven me crazy. So I'm like, I need to find it. But she's also Helen in When Harry Met Sally, which is how I know her. That's Helen. Oh, you hate my voice. Everyone hates my voice.
Well played.
Moving right along, it's World Series.
I just want to make
craziness.
Sure you lose control of this segment. That's my goal. You have two questions.
We do
you see how not prepared I am? I'm prepared to be not prepared. World
it's
Series
not like you haven't had time.
Happening right now.
I haven't even got hit.
I started preparing at like, I don't know, 5.
Pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice.
Slap best.
Just back to that come on, coleslaw.
So the only 7 games of baseball that anybody actually cares about are happening right now. Game 6 concluded this evening. Kansas City Royals have won, forcing the game 7.
Oh,
as every
that.
Good Cinderella story should
like
go
it.
To 7
like
games.
It, yep.
It should.
And it ends in San Fran, correct?
No, it ends in Kansas City.
Really?
Oh,
yep.
Good
oh,
for them.
That's kind of fun.
Yep,
then.
They had home field advantage, so they started the first 2 Kansas
okay.
City, 3 in San Francisco,
I
now the last
know how that
2.
Works. Okay.
Now the last 2 are in Kansas City. Tonight's game
wow.
was a blowout.
Like yeah. the first one was. I mean, the Giants beat the shit
oh, no.
out of the Royals
oh, no.
in the first game.
It's worse. As of the bottom of the second inning, the Royals were up 7-0.
Oh.
They continued on to score in the 3rd, the 5th, and the 7th inning, ending the game at 10-0.
Oh, no.
Wow.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, good for them, because that first game was real embarrassing.
Yeah.
Real embarrassing.
Are we on to the next?
Oh, is there more to that story?
There's plenty more to that story, but go ahead on.
What?
Working it out.
Okay.
Working
I'm
out.
I'm joking
at
World Series shit for the rest of my segment, so let's go.
Oh, no, I have new.
What do you got? What the fuck?
All right, they're looking at stuff on the TV screen. End of hour two, beginning of hour three. We've got one more hour left. Don't forget, Thoughtful Vulgarity is coming up. We're going to continue on with Cap Carlson and her sports stuff. Al's probably going to get more to drink. Marnie's going to have no idea what's going on. And I'm going to follow right behind her because I get lost in a lot of these segments. And I just sit here and Google shit and look for hot boys on websites. It's the show. It's Tuesday Night Q Talk. We'll be back in just mere moments. Stick around, please.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is the result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, boy, this breaking news just in on our old gay talk show here is that I don't believe that the cookies and cream Pop-Tarts are as good as we had hoped.
It needs a dip, like ice cream. It needs to be
I
thought he meant like ranch, like a good lesbian, and I was going to vomit.
No,
I just don't like him.
I'm the only human alive that does not enjoy ranch dressing. I do not get the point of it.
Yeah, I'm going to say if I had a big glass of really cold milk right now,
yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't care for them as much.
I like
the berries. I'll break open the berries.
I think this needs marijuana and milk. It's the M&M's of my world.
Copious amounts of milk.
Copious. Oh, big words.
And probably a lot of marijuana to make this appealing.
By the way, for those of you just joining us also who don't know, our drinking word is jalapeño.
Jalapeño.
Al, could you use that in a sentence, please?
The jalapeño.
No. No.
What?
Hands up.
My meal at Molino's.
Okay. I'm concerned.
There's a burning going down my leg. How's that?
My Santorum is rather burning.
Oh, God.
Okay.
How political.
We said running down your leg, and I know that was the definition.
My Santorum burns
because
of my consumption of jalapenos.
That's right.
I'm going to go back and vote yes on that.
I'm okay with it. I'd like to have some milk with it, but I'm okay.
Heat up another one if you want to, fucker.
I got to talk about
We're in the middle of Cat Carlson and sports and other stuff, and we're going to go back for more other stuff.
Also known as lost control of the classroom.
Yeah.
When last we spoke just moments ago... We were speaking.
Long time dead person, first time crawler. Did you see that about the Ouija board?
No.
It was the review of the Ouija movie, Ouija board. Long time dead person, first time caller.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that funny?
I like it.
Same but different.
I like it. Similar, but different.
We were just wrapping up a little highlight from tonight's World Series game.
And don't you feel like this is the World Series that's gotten the least attention of any World Series?
I really do.
I feel like it's like the third news story of ESPN. Like ESPN's like, and then the fall classic. What do they
the
call it?
The fall classic. Uh-huh.
But it's not because of the.
It's got a really good storyline. Like
they're mid-level
markets.
They've got a Cinderella story there in the making. But
Destiny versus Dynasty. I've seen the headline time and time again.
But they have
But
postponing a Fox show for the World Series has pissed no one off this year. Everyone's like, well, we weren't watching it anyways.
Nobody
Fox
cares.
The new NBC where they changed their scheduling for the World Series and no one cared.
No.
Sleepy Hollow was on last night because they won't put a World Series against Sunday or Monday with the football.
Mm-hmm.
Because they won't even talk about
that. Because that's suicide.
And now suicide's on TV every day.
Suicide is painless.
Back to the
theme song.
They won't put it on Thursdays. They won't play it on Sundays or Mondays because football's on constantly. So this World Series just kind of happens at the pleasure of the football, of the NFL. And whenever the date rapists and wife beaters are free.
Contigo.
I really feel like it's not getting the attention it deserves, and I think it's a good story and it's good teams.
Yeah, it is. It is a good story.
It
and,
feels like
you
it's
know,
too late.
Even the coma patients aren't asking for it.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But since you weren't watching the World Series, I'm going to talk more about it because, as it turns out, Game 5 was noteworthy not only for its Robin Williams tribute.
Right.
Stirring. But also for the guy that fucked up the national anthem.
I heard this one.
Country music singer?
Yeah. No. Stained. Stained.
That Aaron
band
Lewis
Stained
guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I said his name was Aaron something.
Lewis.
Yeah, Aaron Lewis, right.
From the band Stained.
Are they country?
No.
No.
Oh, I'm my apologies.
Yeah. To the stained people of America.
Yeah. Stained people? I thought you were country
no,
western.
No, really, to the country
they're,
people.
They're a 2000-something that band that used to tour with, like, Limp Bizkit and Korn and, like, all those.
Those are all things that come out of my ass.
And the peas. And, yeah, no.
The Limp Bizkit.
The Limp Bizkit. Exactly.
Things that follow jalapeno juice out of my ass for 500
Come on, sir oh, or ma'am.
Jalapeno popper, girl.
So in San Francisco
wow.
on
I like how
Saturday.
Tight I am in your story.
Pops right out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've crossed the line. It's the whiskey. It's the whiskey
line.
And the cookie.
In reality, it's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't wanna call her a whore, but fucking her's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
I can't talk about it.
Speaking of hallways, Robin Williams' smiling face and a variety of his most well-loved characters adorned the big screen at AT&T Park Sunday night. Sorry, Sunday, not Saturday. In a stirring tribute yes. to the late award-winning actor prior to the start of World Series Game 5. Robin Williams, as it turns out, was a big fan of A, San Francisco, and mm-hmm. two, baseball, the Giants.
Me, only San Francisco.
Only San Francisco.
Turns out yes. he didn't know the name of the team, but he always supported yep. them. He was never... there's a funny Billy Crystal story where he's like okay. the San Francisco what-have-yous or something.
Sure, yeah.
Where Billy Crystal... Because Billy Crystal's a big baseball fan, and
right.
he's like, you know they're called the Giants.
Huge baseball fan. Yeah.
And
right.
he's like, no, I don't, but I support them. And
big fan of San Francisco in general.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And a denizen of, and did a big thing after the World Series earthquake that I caused,
mm-hmm.
frequent
yeah.
listeners
caused,
may
yeah.
remember,
correct?
Right.
That I caused that earthquake. But and that's what the thing was. He was just such a supporter of San Francisco. When he found out it affected the team, he got on board. And Billy
right.
Crystal was like, tell me the name of the team. And Robin Williams was like, I don't actually know.
He can draw the logo.
But he went right. there. He was always in mm-hmm. the stands. He was just someone that was like, if I show up and get my picture taken.
It'll
people
bring
woke up.
Recognition.
So, I mean, it really was altruistic to its
so,
best
absolutely.
Level.
And in an effort to make
shitty.
In an effort to make everyone cry, Zach Williams, the oldest son of
oh.
Robin Williams, was there to throw out the ceremonial first pitch to the
Ooh.
Catcher, Billy Crystal.
Oh.
Come on, I did not know that.
That's cool. I didn't know
oh.
that either.
While
not
the montage played.
Not yeah. a dry seat in the
right.
house.
Zach was joined at the mound by his siblings, Zelda and Cody.
Mm-hmm.
He found Crystal's glove and then erupted in joy. So he made the pitch all the way across the
now,
plate.
When he erupted, did he erupt on
no,
with
it.
Jalapenos?
Stop it. Stop it.
This horse was named Jalapeno.
My jalapeno pony.
My sticky
oh.
pony. His name was Jalapeno.
Oh.
The special tribute for Robin Williams played on the main center field scoreboard, featuring highlights of his films, as well as photos of him from various visits to the ballpark, one with home run king Barry Bonds and Hall of Famer Willie Mays.
Nice.
A clip of Williams leading fans in a pregame chant also played, and Crystal got things going with his own chant of play ball.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great story. And what all the things, that was his city. Like that, and I don't remember if he grew up there or if he just ended up there. Because I know he went to
I don't know.
I know he went to Juilliard and famously
with Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve, and they were roommates and all mm-hmm. that stuff.
It seems like the oddest friendship.
Doesn't
but,
it?
Yeah, it really, when I heard that initially, I'm like,
but
huh?
does
the Christopher Reeve Robin Williams thing?
Doesn't right, every funny, short, funny, hairy, funny, sweaty funny. Guy have the impossibly
the
beautiful,
superhero.
Tall guy?
Right.
Sure.
And the fact, all the, I mean, that is probably, and I hope one day when we're much, much older that someone makes a movie of that friendship, because mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most beautiful stories.
Yeah.
It's the Danny DeVito, Michael Douglas of...
Yeah.
That they were roommates and best friends in college, and
right.
that's just another one of those stories. Without the, you know, all Michael Douglas has done is given, you know, had drug addict children and wed beautiful women and owned Tahiti.
Well, and he had that whole thrush.
But you know what I mean? But it's just one of those stories
Remember.
That you just
yeah,
because he got it from going down on women.
What
else? That's how you improve
that's
your PR.
Why women are like, No, I just can't.
So, frequent listeners will perhaps remember that I let everyone know who was going to sing the national anthem at the first four games of the World Series.
Yes, you did.
That was all the information that I had. So, Game 5, turns out...
When it all went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I didn't have a chance to send the clip in so that we could listen to it, but...
find it now.
Yeah.
Not you, him.
Okay. I was just going to tell him who to Google.
All right.
Aaron Lewis.
A-A or E-R?
A-A.
Ernie.
L-E-W or L-O-U?
L-E-W.
Oh, my God, look how prepared you are for questions.
Well, I don't.
I know.
That's a passive aggressive. I have two questions.
So as I was watching Aaron Lewis.
It's oddly, the first thing that comes up is Aaron Lewis botches Anthem.
Yeah.
And asks forgiveness.
Because he sure did.
There's nothing better.
Yeah.
Hit it.
No, I know. By the way.
Work it out.
It came right up, but I've got to find the goddamn clip. Go ahead. Okay. Keep going.
So,
play ball.
Perhaps the Major League Baseball should ensure the person they are hiring to sing the Star-Spangled Banner knows the words. This is Aaron Lewis of the shitty noise band Staind, and don't ask us why he's singing in San Francisco tonight, because Staind is from Massachusetts.
I wondered that.
Huey Lewis is still available and knows the words.
And you know what? For years and years and years, it was lip-synced.
Yeah,
and they just recently came back on that because they got a little flack from that because Whitney Houston was lip syncing.
Right, but do you remember the Beyonce thing with Obama's "Hello" when
inauguration?
Thank you. And she was lip syncing.
That was because of the cold.
No, but even still,
people
went fucking crazy about that.
Right. Let's see what I got here. I think this maybe.
And it's ridiculous.
Can you see?
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm already done.
Blow your nose, asshole.
By the dawn's early light.
Where did he screw it up?
It's within the first verse.
So proudly we hailed.
Oh, right there. Didn't even
listen.
Yep. And what
and listen.
Yeah. And he continues to just keep fucking it up. Like, he screws it up another place.
That sounded horrible enough.
Terrible. But that got me curious and going, well, clearly he's not the only one to have ever
No.
So now
right.
I have the 10 worst national anthem performers.
If Roseanne Barr is not in that list.
Yes, he's on the
Roseanne
list.
Is why better be number
but
one.
But Roseanne is why they lip sync.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what Roseanne did right? She got the words right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what, Rose? That's the thing that everyone forgets.
And was
she
awful.
She may have sung it poorly. And we'll get to my point at the end of this. And Doug Wilkie, if you're listening, you're going to chime in on this. But go ahead.
All right. So I have a
hit
list.
Hit it.
Here I go. Number 10.
I need a drink.
Carrie Hilson in 2010. Carrie Hilson has the vocal chops to make the Star-Spangled Banner soar. But unfortunately, the R&B star's performance at an NBA Lakers game in 2010 did just the opposite. Why? She committed the sin of all sins, forgetting the lyrics. In 2010, also, Josh Groban and Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
And he should be better than that. It was very disappointing.
Who, Flea?
No.
I'm kidding.
All right. Put in your hands.
It's been touted as the weirdest national anthem ever, and with good reason. Josh Groban and Flea may be friends in real life, but their musical inclinations...
Not the same.
No.
It just went weird immediately.
Well, and the picture of those two just hanging out for coffee is weird anyway, but go on.
Christina Aguilera in 2011.
Don't remember that?
I do.
She has, you know, the voice to do it.
Yeah.
But at the 2011 Super Bowl, nope, she changed the words, merging the lyrics from the fourth line and the second line and the final notes. Anybody that saw it was like, oh.
That's that when hurts. Everybody started to put, like, everyone started to put, like, if you look at the charts for, like, singing the national anthem, and they had, like, people going like this, like, all of a sudden it's like, just pick a fucking note. Like, it's
one.
A lovely,
one.
It's a hard song, but it's a lovely melody. Try to stick to the melody.
It's
a very hard song to sing.
In 2005, R. Kelly, who was notoriously excellent at turning ordinary performances into logic-defying moments, he must have been trying to channel... the great Marvin Gaye when he decided to go with a soul arrangement of the national anthem for a boxing bout. The results got people talking, but for all the wrong reasons, from the unnecessary use of hand claps to the even more unnecessary use of
howling thrice at the moon.
Oh, no. Well, without the Chicago step dancers, you don't have a song.
Interjecting sexual healing into the national anthem.
Not necessary.
Get up.
Number six has
Let's shoot them
two
tonight.
Terrible performances. Steven Tyler in 2001 and 2012.
Yeah. I remember the 2001 one.
No need to say anymore.
Mm-mm.
I don't even get
it. Oh, Aaron.
Stripes look like a lady. I don't know what he's saying.
No, his voice is just shot. And he went for something in 2001 that was more 1975 for him.
Oh, okay.
And it ended up, one, I think he got the lyrics right. He just ended up shouting parts of it.
Well, he just Steven Tyler'd it.
Yeah.
Oh. And
it all went wrong.
Yeah.
He just heard it. Number five, Aaron Neville, Aretha Franklin, and Dr. John.
Oh. Just that sentence is wrong.
What
the hell is going on? I should have been ready.
Well played, Al.
Super Bowl XL.
The fat people Super Bowl.
It had all the makings of a potentially great national anthem performance.
Except for the people involved.
Yeah.
It was the first since Hurricane Katrina.
And sounded like Hurricane Fatina.
New Orleans heroes, Aaron Neville and Dr. John, representing their hometown, along with Aretha Franklin. They had the gospel choir.
Who was Dr. John?
I don't
Why do I not know Dr. John?
Famous jazz, blues, guitarist, singer. He's a genius.
Okay.
A genius.
Okay.
Find his music. Look him up.
I think if I play you a snippet, you'll know. Once you hear his voice, you will know.
Okay. That doesn't mean anything. So then I'm like,
He works with Ricky Lee Jones a lot, who's one of my heroes.
Yeah.
He's a very distinct, and those are three distinct, one thing's what the hell is going on during a song.
You know Dr. John. He's saying, I was in the right place at the wrong time. That's Dr. John.
Okay. Yeah.
And he does the wonderful, with Ricky Lee Jones on the Sleepless in Seattle soundtrack, they do Making Whoopee. He's just got this bluesy, guitarsy, folksy way of singing that just draws you in and makes you want to shit out of jalapeno. I just want to
jalapeno.
Get it, jalapeno.
Go ahead.
Number four, Scott Stapp. Mm-hmm. In 2005, the Grammy Award-winning voice of Creed bungled the national anthem on several occasions, but a 2005 performance from the NASCAR Ford 400.
Oh, so no one was watching.
Yeah,
right.
Best demonstrates why this man should never sing this song. Severed notes and brooding growls do no good for the Star Spangled Banner.
Okay, there's two ways that I found The Daily Show. Number one was The Daily Show when it was trying to make his name after the original guy left and it came to Jon Stewart. And Jon Stewart was just terrorizing John McCain during the 2000 campaign until George Bush got to it and did it better.
Sure.
John McCain almost dropped out because of The Daily Show. Mm. Until South Carolina, the only terrorist on that campaign was Jon Stewart. Because they had never heard of him. And The Daily Show was not a thing. It had Craig Kilborn, I think.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It had Craig Kilborn. It was just very light. And they decided to go heavy and just start terrorizing John McCain for things that he had said and calling him on it. And he would take questions from the audience because they had press passes.
Sure.
And number two was the point of the story, which I don't remember. Oh, so...
so me neither.
When Stephen Colbert was a correspondent for The Daily Show, Stephen Colbert went to these guys that were suing Creed for a shitty concert. Because remember, he stopped in the middle and he had a nervous breakdown and he forgot the words and he had a temper tantrum.
And he stuck in the beginning, so
and
I
they
don't
were
know
like,
why anyone was surprised.
So they the two guys lived in their parents' basement and Stephen Colbert did a full interview with him with them about like, weren't you kind of expecting a shitty show when you paid a ticket? You know what I mean?
Right. When you bought the
tickets
for Creed.
But The Daily Show really made its money off of how bad Creed was and how stupid John McCain is. So it's kind of funny that, and that is the era.
Made the list.
Because that's what made me start. I never heard a Creed song, but all I knew was like, this show that I'm watching is really fucking funny, and Creed is their main.
It's apparently really terrible.
They were the George W. Bush of 2005.
That's so funny. I had no idea. Well, in 2003, Michael Bolton.
Oh, enough said.
You're going to have to finish that sentence.
I know. But it says, before there was Sarah Palin reading notes from her hand, there was Michael Bolton. At a Red Sox versus Yankees baseball game in 2003, the crooner invited the wrath of fans when he dared to peek at the lyrics scrawled on his palm.
Now, I'm going to call bullshit later, too.
Yeah,
but on this one, I got to call bullshit. You need a lyric sheet.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, and I practice.
But don't they almost always have the words?
But
at every game I've been to.
Now, I've sung the national anthem once. And I
in
have
front
to tell
people?
You, in front of people.
Oh, good for you.
And that is some tricky fucking
nope.
words.
Just in
the
bathroom.
Because you, like, where are we in the war?
Whoa.
Are the bombs
hey.
Bursting? Am I sleeping?
Am I,
like,
the
right?
red glare? What's happening?
It's a lot of information to get across. And I got a cheat sheet because I'm like, I'm not getting taken
well,
down.
Well, and then sometimes I get confused with America the Beautiful.
But I honest to God, when
like
I did
do.
It, I had,
where did the Purple Mountains Majesty come in? Like,
yeah.
And
where is it?
That's red, Purple Mountains Majesty. The bomb's bursting in, someone can
because all you're worried about through that entire song is the note.
Sure.
All you care about is that it's impossible to sing, and there's a note coming up that you're going to fuck
you're
up.
You're not going
to
get
but
there.
But again, I'm just going to kind of go back to the really big screen at every game I've ever been
that has the words. But I have been, and I've never seen it. I've been at football games all the time, and I've never seen the words.
Maybe it's only good Minnesotans that do that. That may, they don't want anyone to ever
fuck
it
up. But I have to give it to you on this, that I had a lyric sheet in front of me, because that was not how I was going down. I was going down by the note, because that was going to kick my ass later.
Sure.
But I was not going to go down on what verse we were on.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him holding something. I'm just saying,
right. So I gotta.
You know what?
I hate Michael Bolton, and I want to kick him in the
not
teeth.
Not a Michael Bolton.
Like pumpkin
time.
Spice.
It may be excusable, but it caused quite the outrage
and that's
in 2003.
That's
between that...
Jalapeno.
And the bizarre echo following his every line.
Oh, that's just his awful voice.
It's Michael Bolton.
Wait a minute. What
happened?
The bizarre echo that followed? I don't understand. Like, wouldn't that be
he
the
had a reverb.
System?
Yeah, he had a reverb.
Thank you.
Glare.
It's not him.
I don't know. I'm just...
Red.
I was
trying
to be no dramatic reenactments today, and
that was
like,
magnificently
enacted. You take the solo on
crime
scene.
Crime scene footage.
And you
crime footage.
She does it as a solo performance. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the cunt that we work with. No one's invited into the show. She does the whole crime scene footage solo as a monologue.
Well played, sir or ma'am.
I don't know.
What are you yelling
I'm
about?
Because I have no fucking idea what he's talking about. I'm so confused.
You just reenacted
it
the Michael
dramatic
Bolton.
Reenactment.
Yes. We should have all been part of that. We should have all. I should have been
you.
The catcher, pitcher, singer. We should all been there.
Leave the catcher, pitcher out of it, boys.
Oh wait. So wait. Are you saying that we should do it as? Wait.
Okay. He's ready to do a crime scene
but
reenactment.
God bless you, because I'm not doing that.
Oh, and oddly, it's an organ from a baseball game.
There you go. See? Crime scene.
And now we take you directly.
All right, keep going.
Oh, mercy.
I suck all the joy out of your segment.
Come on. We got to get to Roseanne Barr.
Number two, Roseanne Barr.
Number two. You're not offended by number two?
I was offended by every single thing that she did.
All right.
Every single thing about it.
All right, number two.
Number two is Roseanne Barr.
Yeah.
Even the most thick-skinned Americans had their feathers ruffled by Roseanne Barr's national anthem performance at a 1990 San Diego Padres game. She wanted to be obnoxious in a number of ways by shouting lyrics totally off-key, grabbing her crotch, and spitting on the pitcher's mound, and it worked. The best part of the particular video they have here, though, is that it serves to remind us that Madonna not only felt honored by Barr's performance, but spoke with an entirely different accent 2 decades ago.
No, and Madonna during the Blonde Ambition tour said, I get it. And here's my defense, and I will play the devil's advocate on this one. The point to the national anthem, and this is the, and Doug Wilkie, if you're listening, please chime in. The point to the national anthem is it should be sung loudly. You don't listen to the national anthem. If it plays, you sing along.
Yep.
Loudly.
Stirringly.
And now I can't remember what the other word, but loudly and like heartily. It's not about your voice. It's not about anything, but when the national anthem plays. And that's what she was.
I kind of feel like it's also not about being an asshole. And
right. It's a fine
that's
line.
The problem.
It's a, sure. And we don't have a lot of room to wiggle here on fine lines.
But
well,
the
like,
whole point of having an anthem is to stir the patriotism or the team,
and
whatever
when you
it
have
is.
Booze going and everyone's real upset about it.
You just, but it's Roseanne Barr. Like, you don't. Roseanne Barr.
Like, who invited her? In the
first
here's our crime scene.
Like,
you invited a comedian.
I want to be the
was
asshole that invited.
Her?
Not only just a comedian, like this particular comedian.
It's a crude, piss you off in your face comedian.
Yeah.
But what did she do right to that entire song?
She got all the words.
All
and
the
I'm
words
with you.
Right.
I'm with you. But there was a Vikings game.
And there's a little bit of a tribute to all the guys in the stands bidding and listening. That's how they're singing it.
Do you guys know who, I'm going to probably say this wrong, Kobe Calais, Colby, some cunt, is what she is because she sang the national anthem for the Vikings game and was the worst thing I had ever heard. Like, every time that the national anthem is sung, like, I'm...
Worse than Michael Bolton? Come on.
Worse than Michael Bolton. Like, I was... I love hearing the national anthem.
Yeah, I do.
Like, I get all kinds of Twitter page. Like, I just love it.
It's supposed to. It works.
I love it.
The anthem.
And then there was that. And I sat there, and I just walked out of the room. I'm like, I don't know who that bitch is, but somebody needs to play me. But find something. Find something on the radio right now or on YouTube or something so that I can hear it the right way.
Right.
Because she took such creative fucking license with this. And I'm like, no, 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 honey. This is not to stir your career, because it's not going to happen.
But that's how Christina Aguilera did that. Like, all these people
do it. Right.
And that's why they have
to do it. Whitney Houston, who did a little creative license, but oh my God.
She'd been auditioning to sing the national anthem for 5 years, and they finally let her do it. She sang
it. It was amazing.
She screamed every love song.
Did you not like it?
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it.
But it's the joke I had been working on for 5 years. That every time she sang a song, I'm like, you're in love. Why are you singing the national anthem? Like, why are you screaming this song at me? And so it was the Buffalo Bills playing in their first Super Bowl. It was 1991, February of.
Yeah, against the Giants.
I walked into the
against
the Giants. To the left.
Yep. Oh, my God. You have no idea.
Yeah.
It was a total
blast. I walked into the living room. And I saw it start, and she was like, dun, dun, dun. I'm like, oh, my God, she has been auditioning for this song for 5 fucking years.
Sure.
She sang One Moment in Time. She sang Couldn't We Rewrite This Minute? Like, stupid bitch song that bitch sang.
She's dead. She can't sue us.
It was just so great to hear.
But it was beautiful. But I have to say, like, in the Grammy Museum, when you got to the Whitney Houston wing, which they have.
They have to, sure.
One of the, they don't play you any
They call it a mausoleum
trashy
now,
hits. They have playing on the loop her singing the national anthem because the bitch got it right. And there's no...
she got it right.
And I have to tell you, I dislike that woman to an nth degree, but the one thing she did better than anybody...
She nailed it.
She nailed that shit.
Oh, still kind of goosebumpy.
I do, too.
Still goosebumpy.
But there's the sense of his own. There we go. Figure it out. Very good.
It's probably going to be over by the time you're done flushing over there.
Shut up.
But when the key change happens and she sells it at the end is when I'm all like...
Oh, she sells it. By the way, do you like that?
Take your head off.
Got chills in my arms.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
It's working, John Williams.
Get it,
there.
Girl. Guys.
Hashtag that is not okay.
Done. And close the letter.
And we've done enough Olympic shows now in all the years we've been on, like, we love this anthem.
We are
documented fans.
Like, we're pretty dedicated to it.
I don't care what else she ever did in her life.
Boom.
She drowned in the bathtub, but that bitch could sing the national anthem.
Couldn't swim, but she could sing.
She can't swim a lick.
Yeah.
Sorry. Jalapeno.
So, that's my thing. And I
have, girlfriend does have pipes. Harrison is right. God.
But
damn.
I have to give. And she sang every song like the national anthem. All she did the first 5 years of her career was do that.
Right.
But I have
sing
to say,
the hell out of that.
And that's
hell
the only time done. That I agree with listening to the national anthem is when she sings it. Because usually I like very to nice. Sing. I want to sing along too.
Yeah. Sure.
But when she sings it, I'm like, nope. I'm gonna just quietly be over here.
Just listen.
But you're not. Loudly and robustly or something. There are instructions for the national anthem. You are not.
Yeah.
You are never supposed to sit silent. And Doug, where the fuck are you when we need you?
Because we could Google it. Maybe. Yeah. Sheet music has that those instructions in it, and it was just originally sheet music. You know, when you write classical music or sheet music like that, like you
sing
tell
along.
the performer how to perform it.
Right.
You know, like if it's a somber. Numbers,
right,
then,
right.
You know.
If you're singing "I Can't Make You Love Me," you right. want a little bit of sadness. You don't want a Whitney Houston it.
Oh, worst song in the world.
Right. Don't Whitney that song.
So what's number one?
Number one may be up for debate, but this particular list has Cat Deluda in 2008.
Oh, find it. We need to find it.
Okay, I don't know that. Well, I was
says
just saying,
he was once a pop newcomer with a bright future. The Dominican singer never quite recovered from this national anthem performance at a 2008 Dallas Cowboys game. Any way you look at it, it's a spectacular failure. She tries too hard to hit the notes that only a rarefied circle of divas can, and then takes us on a painfully bumpy roller coaster ride of vocal runs.
Oh, that
she
run.
Half forgets the lyrics.
Oh, the run.
Jalapeno, baby, don't get the run.
She half forgets the lyrics, she completely botches the last note, and she does it all with the swagger of someone who believes she's positively killing it. When a chorus of boos erupt at the end, it's far too little, too late.
And one of the
featured entertainer is 20-year-old pop sensation Cat Deluda.
I'm excited.
Is she a lesbian?
I thought she was.
See how bad
that
is.
Can you see?
Oh.
By the dawn's early light, was so bright.
Oh,
but and bright
oh, ooh, she's mad. She's
hey,
mad.
Hey,
she's fighting.
Hey.
She had a jalapeno there.
We're
so gallantly
streaming. This doesn't even make the top 10 yet.
And
trying to get a picture of the look on your face. The look on your face is, no, this is terrible.
Like he's expecting a jalapeno.
Oh, it's really awful.
No, nice. He's not off yet.
No.
That our flesh was still there.
Oh, this isn't even close to the worst.
No, I'm surprised that this is number one.
I don't write the news, I just read the news.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
All right.
We're not done. With the what? What'd you say?
I would. That wouldn't even make my top 10.
No,
that's
a lot of booze.
That's just a little. That's just a little latitude at the end.
I thought it was interesting in the middle myself. But
I mean that seriously, I was asking.
But a fun list, nonetheless.
Yeah, fun list. That was.
I agree.
So
thank you for that.
Who's butt stripes?
We seem to have time to kill. So breaking news. Former Major League slugger Jose Canseco is recovering after shooting himself in the hand at his Las Vegas
Jesus
home.
Oh, my gosh.
Posted just hours ago.
Well, that says it all.
There you have it.
Metro Police say officers responded to a call of an accidental shooting this afternoon. They say Canseco told police he was cleaning his gun in the kitchen when it fired, shooting a finger on his left hand. He's been taken to University Medical Center. So Jose Canseco just trying desperately to make the news on World Series Week.
Doing anything
Fuckers.
He can.
Look at him go. They're like, oh, they haven't talked about me in 15 years. Bam! Bam! Yeah.
Well,
here's the
Canseco Burris. What's his name?
What?
What's that guy's name that shot himself in his own foot?
Oh, Plaxico Burris.
Yeah, I was kind of, my Plaxico. Mouth made all the same noises here did.
Here's another
listen, Margarita.
I always remember this as growing up, that this was the woman who could only sing this song. And see if you, I don't know how good.
If it's memory, I'll love it.
I don't know how good the quality is of this, but anyway, you'll remember.
Yeah. She was Kate Smith. She was a one-song wonder. But it was written for her, so that's not fair.
Oh.
Like, Irving Berlin wrote that for her.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that.
And again, you know how when people say, like, oh, I'm not old enough to remember that movie. I'm not old enough to remember Kate Smith having a song written for her by Irving Berlin, but I have that
and,
for you.
Kate Smith was whose
big fat
godmother?
White lady?
No.
Jesus.
I'm sure it was Judy Garland, because if somebody throws around the world godmother. No, that's Kate. The only person who uses godmother in a sentence like Cinderella is Liza McFuckinelli.
Might be.
Jalapeno!
Liza McFuckinelli.
Liza McFuckinelli.
I'm reminded of a Roseanne.
Pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program,
Liza McFuckinelli.
Smith.
Oh, this is actually like, this is like from 19, she's walking in 1940.
Now we gotta Google it, because I'm not sure.
She was a big girl.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
It is
hello.
Hi.
Hello.
To introduce
jalapeno.
Oh, she's going to. All right, introduce everybody. Anyway, I'm trying to find it. Hang on, I have to look up information. And God, why can't it be current?
Seriously.
Oh, thank God I was right. Okay, it wasn't written for her. She wouldn't have been alive at the time.
While the storm clouds gather.
I need a cocktail.
Should I make another picture?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We're going to get busted for that prize. Who knows?
No.
Critique it.
He wrote it during World War I, but it became famous in 1938, sung by Kate Smith. And Kate Smith is from that old school of no microphones. Of the Ethel Merman school of
singing.
The pre-microphone. Like,
sure.
No one can stand in the St. James Theater, because I'm going to use the St. James.
Yeah.
But no one can stand on that stage and project the back of the house. Like, you had to have that big booming voice that they would hear you when you weren't mic'd. And Kate Smith had that voice. And the weird thing about God Bless America is isn't God Bless America a poem written by somebody else?
Yes.
No. I'm thinking of America the Beautiful.
America the Beautiful. Yeah.
But
Woody
Guthrie wrote the song This Land Is Your Land as the answer to the unrealisticness of God Bless America.
Oh.
Wow, it's awfully serious in here tonight.
No, we're...
I don't know what happened.
But, I mean, it's...
Who are these people?
But it is fun with the World Series.
How can you?
When you do the World Series, when you do the Super Bowl, you want to know who's doing the halftime show or who's singing the seventh inning stretch of
Take Me Out of the Ballpark.
But you want to know who's doing the national anthem, and you want them to do it well. Like, you're always you're on their side right until they fuck it up. Like,
absolutely,
you are seriously on Team Kelly Clarkson right until she fucks the pooch.
As it turns out, interested parties should note that for the final game of the World Series, the Kansas City Symphony Orchestra will be performing the national anthem.
Yeah.
So whatever that song is that we've been talking
about
for
When Boston would make it in, Donna Summer was invited in quite often to do either God Bless America or the national anthem, which she finally did because she was from Boston, Worcester native or whatever. And she would sing it live, but she always sang it a cappella to avoid fuck-ups. So that way, if the band went right and she went flat, no one would know.
Right.
And it's always kind of funny to see her in the cold in October, but they whipped her out all the time. And it was always a pleasure to hear her sing. She didn't do the national anthem as well as she did God Bless America. But you can find it on YouTube. And she does it. But it's a tough fucking song, and even Donna has her moments.
Let's see,
of like,
I know you'll get this off for that.
I had a dream.
Oh, yeah.
A dream
about
you,
baby. There's no one else that sings like that.
So enjoyed that.
Oh, but she sings. According to this, it's Oh, no. She's supposed to sing God Bless America.
She will in a minute.
Oh,
it's that same school of voices. Oh. Like they are.
I googled it and it comes up.
They are two women.
I am what I am.
Yeah. It's. I mean, Kate Smith and Ethel Merman were like the
kinda
same.
Go, huh?
How old am I? But they're the same voice. It's
they
the
are.
Same.
Oh, very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Your belt. The diaphragm is a working organ.
And you'll work it from here. Let him do.
Reenact
Ethel Merman. Shit.
Go.
Come on.
If you ever go.
Jalapeno. Work it out, bitch.
Pop-Tart.
You want me to sing the. What?
Nothing. Just do something.
Ethel Merman,
do not go to karaoke with him because he sings every
hysterical
song.
It's awesome.
Oh, hang on.
Come on, Ethel Merman.
Work it out.
You're all so excited.
I know. I love when you do that.
You've been spot on with accents all night. I'm so excited.
But I can't pull this out right now because I'm trying to cue up something else.
I feel like you can.
He's doing something else.
I'm very busy.
I believe
you are very busy. You're a very busy individual.
I got lots going on.
Goodness. All right. Do I need to kill time? Do I need to kill
her? One more story.
All right. Fat girl costumes. So.
That's what I wanted you to get to.
Well, there you have it.
All right. So Walmart found itself sending apology tweet Monday after the Twitterverse raked it over the coals for a major goof on its website. For whatever inexplicable reason, the retail giant site featured a Halloween category titled Fat Girl Costumes. You won't find it there now, thank goodness, but it stayed there for a large part of the morning.
Oh,
no pun intended.
I like it a lot. Al doesn't like it, I'm sure, but I like it.
Tell him large, Marge, don't you?
And long enough for multiple screenshots. The presence of the category was first reported by Jezebel, which in turn was alerted by a reader who stumbled upon it while looking for costumes.
That was good. What were we eating during there?
Strawberry? It was basically a collection of costumes you'd usually find on the site's plus-sized women's section, also known as fat girl costumes.
Fat girl costumes.
How to disguise your
picking up? No. Hey, Clayton, cook me up one, please.
How to disguise your pickup truck as a slutty fireman? Right? Fat girl costume?
Yeah. Yep.
What?
I enjoy the fact that you have the same look on your face that I do because we're both like. Huh?
The fuck is he saying?
Speaking metaphorically.
Right. Yes.
See?
Apparently. Sitting in that seat to understand that.
Parenthetically, fat girl costumes.
Right. Because all you're doing is taking large Marge and making her look like a slutty nurse, so you're just dressing up your pickup
Phoenix
truck.
Phoenix tent nonning.
You're just pushing
right. Phoenix tent nonning.
God damn
you.
It. You're just pushing the boobs up. Like,
when did you two become up to?
Only after Twitter users complained in droves, Walmart took down the section and sent out multiple apologies.
God bless the Twitter people for making Walmart less offensive.
I appreciate that they sent out multiple apologies.
So what I'm guessing was this is what happened.
Huge apologies.
In Bentonville, Arkansas, where their home office is, that somebody was working and they were getting the website ready for this season, and somebody, as a joke, they kept calling it the fat girl costume section. So they typed it, and that's what they called it.
Yep.
And forgot to change it when they went live.
Sure.
Or I was thinking, none of the small sizes are moving because of the Walmart shoppers, so why don't we tell them there's a fat girl section?
Oh, that was interesting.
There's no slim pretty girls going into Walmart for a costume for Halloween. You know what I mean? That section remains like my rape whistle, untouched.
Devastatingly.
Jalapeno.
Yeah. You got to give me credit for that one.
That's
good.
Real good.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I read this several times and I haven't found like any explanation from Walmart other than.
Oh no, you
but
won't.
You know, and
Walmart says, "Oops."
If I was Walmart, I'd be throwing somebody under the bus. Over here.
Yeah, they had it on the View today, and you're like, you know, the big girl was
back.
Like, here's the section you need, fat girl section, and no one took it. The View said Rosie O'Donnell said the same thing. She's like, you know that all you heavy girls are looking for, just put fat girl section so I know where to shop. Because I don't want to go into your slutty nurse category and find out that thing fits on my leg. And it's now slutty cast.
I'm a slutty calf.
Yes. I have a slutty left broken leg.
Aww. All right, friends. Well, I'm not sure what happened, but I think that may have been sports and some other stuff.
You made it through most of it, didn't you?
Sports,
and
other stuff.
It's my
jalapeno!
Well, becoming my favorite section.
It's the best section ever.
I do, too. The lists are successful. Why do you think there's
they
a list every
I just love that Molly wrote big, white, fat bitch, parenthetically.
I think you're doing great.
It's my favorite.
I'm not sure.
Fabulous.
Oh, say, can you see?
That's Donna, right?
Yeah, I'm like. Sing it out, babe.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched.
She misses the last note.
That's great. Thank you. No, that is my favorite.
It's hard to sing.
And the rock is regular.
She doesn't miss that.
The bombers singing Gabriel to the night that our flag was still there. Oh,
no, she doesn't.
The flyover took
it. That pitch. Whenever you're watching a show and someone talks about pitch, you just think, that pitch, her pitch, she's so on pitch.
Oh, that was very, very good.
There's that.
I almost got weepy during this. Yeah. That's Don, that is Molly, that is Donna Summer, bitch.
We all remember the show. We know.
Oh, when Donna hits a note, it is for real.
It is. Like, that was fantastic. Not that Kobe fucking Calais.
All right, it is.
Kobe Cunt Calais. That's her name, right, Miles? Right? Work it out. I hate that.
Work it out!
Calais.
I'm pretty sure we lost her as listener. I'm going to edit the list.
Molly? No, Molly, she's right here.
No, who is Kobe Calais?
Oh.
Fuck Kobe Calais.
There's that.
I drove her car.
Sing that bullshit. Sing it, girl, the
final
right
segment
way
of the night, and it goes something like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right, so we're just going to stay on this theme that we seem to have stumbled onto and laid down upon. But there was a big push earlier in the millennia. When did you have a moment of, like, when you changed from seeing you may even be too young to know the difference.
I'm intrigued.
When did you, the difference between seeing someone with an American flag on the bumper of your truck and being like, oh, redneck, fucker, and being like, oh, proud American, like, when did that transition happen for you?
I don't know that it's happened.
Oh, that's an interesting point of view.
I don't know that it's happened.
Because there are certain things that I see and just think, ooh, redneck.
Right.
Maybe steer clear. And then the things that I'm like, oh, proud American.
How do you feel about Confederate flags? Because I'm still a big fan.
Well, hey.
That's a true story. I saw the most magnificent pickup truck, like, just driving down the street the other day. It had a proud Confederate flag flying from the center of the pickup, and it was all jacked up. Very, very intriguing. No, I don't know that there's, like, been a transition, but I don't know that I had the redneck reaction either.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm always a little wary of the uber patriotic or the fanatic in general. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's patriotism or, you know, religion or whatever your thing is. Like, if you're too excited about it, I'm highly suspicious.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're trying to sell it to everybody.
Mormons. Well, and I kind of live like that. Like, I have it, like, happily and quietly.
A lovely white shirt.
What?
Mormons.
Love them. Nicest neighbors.
I can believe that.
Yeah. Like I kind of, I live my life like just kind of quietly and on the inside, you know, as far as anything that I'm really like passionate about or
like
or
your genitalia.
In. Sure. No. That stays on the inside too.
No! Thank you for getting that joke, because it was kind of involved.
Yeah, no, I got it. Innie versus Outie, I'm there.
Yeah, well played. Something.
But yeah, so I have, like, a little bit of distance and distrust from people that are just too out there trying to tell me what your cause is and what you what
Very you're fair. All right, can I move on?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
You can do whatever you want.
No.
He's out fucking Perkins. Right. I don't think I saw... If what I'm hearing you say is correct, I never saw a American flag as anything other than patriotic. I never thought it was anything...
Like a bumper sticker.
Hmm.
Okay.
Now, the only thing that I do remember, this is years ago, when I worked for Trane Air Conditioning, I was at one of our factories in Clarksville, Tennessee, and the cab driver, there was a cab in front of us taking us back to the airport when we flew back, and there was an upside-down flag on the back window of this cab. And I called the cab company right there from the car, and I'm like, I don't know who you people are, but I'm behind cab whatever number it was. I'm like, and they have an upside down American flag on their that glass. I'm like, that needs to come off.
Yeah.
And I don't think I made my point clear to them or whatever. They didn't understand what the hell I was talking about. Maybe it was, you know,
a language barrier.
Maybe
you were talking to ISIL.
Maybe.
But other than that, not the American flag, but again, I'm from Missouri, so. There's a lot of that Confederate flag stuff. Mm-hmm, remember all that? And Jesus Christ, yeah, there was a lot of that.
I actually have one in my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that of historic value for some reason, or is
no? There was a horribly distasteful party, and I rolled up in the back of a pickup truck waving it.
Mm. Oh, good.
As a redneck?
Yeah.
I remember pictures of that party.
Oh,
that was a good party.
I like that you lesbians all hang together and have pictures of the same
By the way, wasn't there?
There's only like 100 of us.
Yeah. There aren't many.
Yeah.
Well, the off-photograph lesbianism.
No, but no. To me, any representation of the flag was always. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was maybe not the most patriotic champion thing, but it was just. I'm like, oh, they're on board. That's how I kind of always looked at it.
And as a gay American, my thing was always like, if you were that patriotic, that meant that you had a little like hate in your heart for something. Mm. And I always had that thing whenever I would see someone with the American flag as a bumper sticker or like anything, I'm like, we're not going to get along. Like that's.
I never thought of that way.
You're standing up for something that I'm not really part of.
You don't vote like I do, or.
Oh yeah, and like that, you're just standing up for like morals and integrities that you don't like. You're standing up for the flag, but not everything that it stands behind. And I'm going to say like with Harrison, it was after 9/11 that when I would see it, I'd be like, okay, we're all on board. Like, all right, that's the same page. Like, we can disagree on certain stuff, but the one thing we agree on is the national anthem, is the flag, is, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance pre-1950s.
Right, without the...
Under God shit.
Right.
But I mean, it was very strange, but it was a very subtle shift to, like, when you would see someone and you just thought of it as, like, uber Republican, uber, like, just, like... Pre-Nazi Pat Robertson.
Everything about me stamped with the flag.
But it wasn't a bad thing. It was
no,
just
no,
like,
I'm just saying, like, that's where... I don't know exactly what the question was.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying, but where did you change from your view on, like, the national anthem and the flag? From, like, if you saw it somewhere in public, you were a little like, oh, that's just a sign of something not good going on here to, like...
I never
Oh,
did.
I'm... Oh, okay.
I
think that might be a more political thing of the late 80s, early 90s, of that whole Reagan thing of, like, flag wavers were just Reagan supporters. Like, that just meant that
I
you were...
I think it depended on what someone was saying behind that flag.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, it really was. Like, the flag wavers were almost always the Reaganites, the evil empire.
Yeah, I can see. Maybe
a little Darth Vader music.
Dun, 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 dun. Right.
Yeah,
from when I was little, I always had, when Harrison is saying I didn't have anything with the flag on it, blah, blah, blah. From when I was little, like, I feel like I can look back at pictures.
Oh, we did. But we live, and we all live, well, three of us, or maybe four of us. How old the fuck are you?
35.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, the rest of us all went through the bicentennial.
Everyone in that chair is like,
Mid-30s. But the, bicentennial, the bicentennial was so, like, cementing of, and that's where it went from, like, a good thing of the national anthem, of the flag, like, everything good about America was part of that bicentennial, and it got shoved down your throat, and you just ate it whether you wanted to or not, and we all ate it. But then through Reagan, it just all got so, like, evil and nasty that everything related to that just got so just dirty and dainty.
And I never looked at it like that.
Yeah, I mean,
I never saw it like that. Like, to me, the flag represents the Olympics. And
And it did. And in the best possible sense, it did. But maybe it's just that little bit older and a little bit gayer and a little bit outer that, like, the evil of Reagan just was the 80s. Like, to me, everything America was just rotten and spoiled because of Reagan. Like he's my Nazi. He's my Hitler.
Okay.
Like, I just think he's really,
it's been 10 years since he died.
Is that it?
Is that it?
I'm without. Okay. Like, is that it?
10 years.
I really thought longer.
Nancy is 92, and she just visited his grave, like, yesterday.
All right. Talk about Reagan. I have no bladder today, but I have Harrison, we're going to play your favorite game. It might not be your favorite game, but I learned it with Harrison.
I like
it. So chat amongst yourselves about patriotism and things.
Well, you know, speaking of Harrison, the September 11th is a really good point. Like, I think, like, that year is probably the only time I've ever felt especially patriotic.
Okay. What's happening? What do you need?
Just reaching for nuts.
Well, typical. It's a Tuesday.
Just reaching for nuts.
Just want to see what he was enjoying over there.
Mm.
Yeah, that was like an odd, like, shift in just global consciousness to experience. So yeah, I think that's a fair point for when your patriotism may have changed. September 11th.
And I can certainly see why that would be for that. And I mean, it was a big shot in the arm for everybody to for a huge resurgence of it. Mm-hmm. Sadly, we all got complacent again, and now it's...
Absolutely.
Because we were, for a good year or more, everybody was...
I was going to say, by, like, 2003, that was done again. It was back to...
You know what, though? As it should be. That's, like, the downside and the upside of living in America is that, you know, life goes on and everybody continues, and, like, you can't get us down. Like.
Right, but I think that my problem with it was a little bit different.
Okay.
Everybody came together. Everybody was good to each other, it seemed.
Sure.
Not everybody. Let me take that back. But so many people.
There was a greater feeling of connection, yes.
Yeah.
They were better to each other, and we were kinder to each other for this period of time.
Not me. Whatever. I was an asshole to everybody.
And you're one of them. That's why I said most people.
Yeah.
But where, you know, it and that to me was... amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And then you just felt it start to go away.
Sure, because life goes on.
But it's not about life going on. To me, just to me, that's the problem. Like, continue that shit. Just be good to each other. This is not a fucking problem.
It's too hard.
How hard is it to, like, open
people,
a door for
some
somebody?
Some people took a high
be
road.
Be kind
and
to
some
somebody.
People took the two roads emerged after that.
And I don't trust you, or... Wait. I'm going to be really good.
And there was, we can be strong and vigilant, or we can just live in fear. And you went down two different paths.
Right.
But that's...
I see that.
So here's a game that Harrison and I made up in the 80s, or I made up, or she made up, or one of us did. We stood over bagels and coffee.
Somebody made it up.
So we're going to shorten it down.
Okay.
The way that it was originally played was, the gun has six bullets. Who do you assassinate?
Okay.
But we're going to shorten it down. So the gun has two bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Who in the world, and this was all based on the premise was that only, like, Reagan lived and everyone else that was shot, all the progressives or the progressive thinking people were assassinated.
Okay.
So let's say that, like, liberals took up their guns and actually, like, did what conservatives
started
do and shoot people and started to assassinate people. Who do you assassinate with your two bullets in today's market? Like, they have to be alive and currently operating. Like, who is the biggest danger that an assassination would just turn the tide of history, like Kennedy did, or Malcolm X, or any of those people?
Michelle Remember, Bachman.
Wow.
No.
Sure.
That, but I mean, like, frightening, Joni Ernst, frightening fucking people like that that are running. But I think if we're going to go worldwide, I would say Putin.
Okay.
Or Putin-esque. Kind of.
No, it's got to be written. No,
okay,
ask.
So one,
you got to shoot him.
Because he's a.
You got to own the bullet. You got to own the bullet. It's a fascinating breakfast conversation over bagels and coffee. And Harrison and I had it for like 10 years.
Very nice.
I know, it sounds charming.
guys are warm.
We got Putin. Do you want to stick with your Bachman? Because I'm okay with that.
Old Pooty Poot.
No, but I, if you're saying you can only go with one.
Two. You get two. Oh, you get two balls.
No, I know. I already used one on Putin.
Sure.
I would love to go to the Middle East and say that it's somebody there, but I'm too fucking ignorant to name a person, or and I don't think there is a person there because it
right,
who's keeps falling to who the next right, craziest right. fucking person is. So I guess in the political field now, right now, that I'm familiar with, I would honestly say the likes of, so therefore, Joni Ernst. And it's everybody that falls, everything right. behind her, because all of that is just some crazy, crazy fucking shit. Do you know who that is? That's the one who you have about castrating pigs.
Right. Oh. Ernst. She's a dance song.
Boots and Pants and Boots and Pants.
I love that song.
But yeah, from Iowa. But somebody like that who's so fucking scary, and then shooting her feels like shooting everybody that the Bachmans and the Palins yeah. that fall behind her. So that's my thought.
It's a provocative question.
Mm-hmm. It really is, because I know that I have a much better answer.
No, and because you don't want to shoot somebody is the other thing.
Well, there's that. I mean, yeah. that's, I'm thinking that if I, because otherwise I would just say, you know,
yeah.
Winks cook-off, chili cook-off, because I don't know, because I don't want to shoot somebody. But if there's some crazy bastard that I know for a fact I could right. shoot, and it would be done.
Oh, I'm done. I'm using. I haven't played this game in a long yeah. time, so I'm using all this spare time to work up my answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer like a sociopath here.
Oh, good. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Jalapeno.
So follow along with me. Because for...
follow along.
For greatest impact and any kind of like worldwide change, like this is what you're trying to enact. You're trying to enact a change. You're trying to start the revolution.
Right. Oh, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So I don't have a name, but my target would be someone beloved.
Oh.
Someone that could like start
you
the uprising. I know. Someone what to start the uprising of the average person.
So would that be like Elizabeth Warren? Like would
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, not specifically because I love her. But like your Elizabeth Warren, like your Barack Obama's, like your beloved.
Because that would get the people behind.
Right.
Right. So you have to do with the
outraged people.
You create the martyr.
It's like with Sandy Hook. All those little children. Those lives, but everybody,
I would not shoot children.
No. I'm saying it's
a
beloved character. So you take the reason that anti-gun lobby blew up was because of all those innocent children.
Right.
So I get what you're saying about the beloved part. But no, I'm not by any means advocating guns and children.
I know.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. You get somebody that everybody was on board for. And they died because of something that they always fought against.
Look at what became of Martin Luther King or Malcolm X's assassination.
Yes.
Like, what became of Robert Kennedy? Like, what is the...
Right. And those people, when they died,
it's an interesting... It's not what I was intending, but that's a very interesting way to look at it. And Harrison, I think, will have...
Psycho!
It's true.
No, it is.
No, by the way, I'm joking. No. Give me a little, what? Just kidding.
I'm not a normal person.
No, because I like that.
That's a great way to think about it, though, is like, it's not someone that I'm against, but it's someone would start the riot. That's an amazing...
I know, and there's something weird about that, though, that horrifies me, that makes me step back just like I did and go, no, like, don't say that. Like, I don't...
But you say...
It wouldn't be you.
But in Ferguson, after a fail...
I was told last week...
But after a failed attempt at the police state in the city next door, remember we talked about Ferguson is really a byproduct.
Police chief is stepping down, by the way.
But remember it was about the city next door that had fired their entire. Yes. They decided that they were not going to have a police.
Yes.
They had to start over. They had to start over,
and now you're left with the bad. Remember the 5th of November. God, Molly, get out of my fucking head. This guy, it's from V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is you shoot this
kid. The TV show?
No, it's a movie, V for Vendetta. No, V is about aliens.
Thank you. Right. Oh, my God. How do you remember that? Totally different.
Lizard people.
Sorry.
But Anyways, go on.
Sorry, sir.
I gotcha.
That was me. That was it.
Okay.
Yeah. But who's your second one? You got a second one.
Yeah, you
well,
got two.
Well, I do two of them.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, now, let's like, see. You do one liberal, no, I, one conservative.
And I said,
feminine.
Like, I don't have a specific name. Yeah, I don't have, yeah. Like, I don't pay attention politically enough to be like, oh, whatever. But no, you have to start the riot. You have to get everyone fired up about it.
Right.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That is, yeah. So, interesting.
I'm not okay.
Well, like, now my answer is going to pale in comparison to your lovingly thought over, good, well-meaning, murderous spree of beloved characters. Putin's the first one that came to my mind early when you first said it. But what I would also like to accomplish, if he could be at a conference and right behind him...
with one bullet.
With a magic bullet.
Right, that's
so
right.
I'm looking, you know, two birds, one bullet. So he would be one of the first ones. And then I immediately think of the, whatever, Kim Jong-un or
Kim
any of
Jong-il,
those fucking people.
Yeah.
Let's just free up China and let's move on with that.
Get some airspace, yeah.
Yeah.
South Korea.
But the other one I thought
North
of was...
North Korea.
Again, if I could align him and his son, I'd take out Pat Robertson.
Ah.
Because where does that hate just... Yeah. Where does it come from?
Yeah.
That hate, and sadly, when he keels over...
Yeah, there's
a blip in the road, and his son's right there doing
exactly.
keeping on.
And that's why I was saying, like, with the Middle East, like, I'd love to say this.
But you're right, but the next crazy person is.
Yeah. I mean, you
because
can
now
say Osama, like with Osama bin Laden, there are 94 people in line to
he
go,
just,
like, I'm
right.
next crazy.
Right.
Because Saddam Hussein was evil, but he served a purpose. And Ahmadinejad has been our, like, mortal enemy for a while, but now we're both fighting ISIS, so. Like, the bullet, like, there's some repercussions to the bullet. Now, are we on me?
Yeah.
Sure. Mine is Ted Cruz. Like, I don't even think it's a no-brainer.
Sure.
Ted Cruz, just shoot that fucker in the head.
Sure. But how many people, I mean, he, to me, is the same as someone in the Middle East. How many Ted Cruzes
there
are lined up because crazy is
but
crazy.
But luckily, they're all gun supporters, so they'll all be excited that he got shot in the head because somebody got to use their gun rights.
The gun, right.
Because he was on my front porch, and I shot Ted Cruz in the head.
Sure.
And then my... and now because of the conversation,
or we'll just make it Scalia.
I'm going to take Scalia. I was going to say, because of our conversation, I was going to go somewhere thoughtful, but nope, Scalia does it. Obama's still in office, does a lot of good. I read the Pelican Paper. I saw the movie. Scalia, I'm sorry. He'll never approve
jalapeno.
Anybody. You're going to get a little shot of lead in your head, because you're seriously a fucked up dude.
Hard.
If anything went wrong with my aim, the bullet, or drinking, if it hit Clarence Thomas...
I'm not bad.
Those wouldn't be real tears.
Not sad about it.
No.
They'd be about, like, I don't think prison has great cable.
Or Ted Nugent.
That's a waste of a bullet.
No, I'm with you. If it what I'm saying is, if you go to shoot and it misses...
If it's
and
George
it hits
Wallace,
somebody,
then I'm
and
okay.
And then in here
but
and
my,
down,
the honorary bullet of all time for evildoers in the American songbook... I still think the most evil human that's ever lived within these shores is Ronald Reagan. I just don't think there's someone who rode stupidity and ignorance to a darker place than that fucker.
And I'm not joking. I would love at some point, not here, obviously, but to sit down and hear that, because that would not be... You've mentioned these things before.
Ignoring
you definitely
AIDS.
Have. Yeah, of course.
The reason that we're in this thing with, like, the churches and the church and the government
but
mixed
up. But that's
why
you're so smart, and I would love to learn that stuff from you. Because I honestly, he is not the name that I would
If any point from the 1940s to the 1980s I could assassinate one person, I think the most evil, worse than Hitler to me, is Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
Like, he is the worst human that's ever graced the stage of...
Wow.
American politics and history. Like, there is nothing, there is, to me, in my personal history and knowledge, there is no one worse as a human being and more disgraceful of a soul. Like, he is soulless.
Okay.
And all he did. He is the worst human that I've ever encountered.
Fair enough.
In any way, shape, or form. Like,
sure.
Every honorary bullet goes to Ronald Reagan, straight through the head. And the fact that whatever that fucker's name was, Hinckley,
John Hinckley Jr.
There was some good to be done with that bullet, and he missed.
Damn it.
Okay.
Right. There you go.
Fair enough.
Laughter
enough.
Ending on an up
note.
No,
but I would really love to, I mean, everything you just said, but I mean, to be able to, yeah, I don't know. I guess go further with that. That's interesting.
At some point, we'll probably do that around a brunch gathering.
Yeah,
more booze will be involved. We won't be confined to a...
Because that's what we need is more booze.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, kids, we've done it. 3 more hours, another show in the bag. It's the show on Q-Talk America. We'll be back again next Tuesday. With it'll be a little bit of election coverage as it is primary night, so we will have some updated stuff to talk about with that and a bunch of other shit.
Or election night.
I don't know who Roger Ailes is.
We'll figure it out.
Roger Ailes, he's
there. Anyway, before we go, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
Ha ha!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.